Okay, good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's Monday Night Call. Quite a few things going on, and I think we'll start off with really what we're looking at last week. We did talk about the affidavit or the the jurist oath, okay? And I think we came up with something that's probably the best that we've had so far, in my opinion. The idea was brought up that some people were concerned about taking the oath for various reasons and so on and so forth. But I tell you what, my eyes were open to something, and I don't find a problem with the oath that people take to obey or to uphold the Constitution. But we the people are not under the Constitution. And that's what I realized in our discussion last week. So we kind of rewrote it. We owe our allegiance to God. If we're going to acknowledge God in this thing, and because that's the only way we can go forward, after all, it's his law. It's called natural law. He's the one that blessed us with these rights. I think we owe gratitude to God. I think we owe allegiance to him because we need to come to with a bent knee to him. And so that's where our oath has to be. It's to righteousness, it's to justice, it's to God. And he's already told us the focus, we speak about it all the time, that we have to develop a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And that's how we acknowledge God. So we did rewrite it, and let me put it up on the screen here. By the way, a couple of things we're going to be talking tonight is found on our Juris Documents page. And it's found right here on the left side. You'll see Juris Documents right there. Okay? And so that's where you'll find these documents we're going to talk about tonight and some letters we're going to share and some things and activities that have been happening here in New York. Before we get into this, I do want to make one point. We still need leaders for every state. Matter of fact, let's go there first. Let's go to our leadership page, which is you click on county organizers. And when you get there, you just come right below the states, and down here you click on state organizers page. And right now we only have a couple of state organizers. We need state organizers. We need one state organizer. That's all we want. You know, anybody can just kind of step up and say, hey, I'll do it. And what it is you're making a commitment that you're going to work in your state to bring this to every county. You know, you'll make phone calls or visit or call liberty groups in different counties and get them out to our website to watch the video and share the power of the grand jury with them and getting them on board and then pushing them forward to get them to get the election going. They only need one person. You know, as soon as you get one person in the county, have them, you know, get them to go file the for a room in a library, and prepare for the election. Have them watch the videos, take the orientation jurist orientation course that we have on the left side. You'll see it right here, jurist orientation. And at the end of that, we have the instructions on how to. Form a grand jury, okay? And so all they have to do is come out to this page, go down to the bottom. If my browser will move, there it goes. Okay, and at the bottom of bottom of the page here, for details to start a grand jury, click here, okay? And then here is all the details on this page. We have a video and to download the zip files. So that's what the state, organizer or leader needs to do, is to get something going in every county. And then working with all these leaders to get them to communicate with each other. You know, we here in New York, we have 17 counties that have gone through the election process. Quite a few of them have filed. Some of them haven't filed yet, but we're in that process now. But we have 17 elected grand juries. Or the process of the grand juries were elected in 17 counties. And we're having a meeting down in Manhattan coming this Friday. As a matter of fact, Manhattan is going to elect the common law grand jury in that borough on Friday at 6:30. And at 7:30, we're going to have a meeting of all of the grand jury organizers and leaders. We'll call them administrators. That's actually what we should be identifying ourselves as, is the grand jury administrators. When we get into an official capacity, then that we're actually acting as a grand jurist, then we'll identify ourselves as a grand jurist. And maybe one, of course, will become identified as the foreman. But generally speaking, those of us who are organizing and working the system, we're really, administrators of the grand jury administrators. And that's how I'm identifying myself as a grand jury administrator when I'm talking with the courts, talking with the clerks, or talking with the FBI, or talking with anyone. That's what I suggest everyone else should do. But in any event, we're going to be having a meeting after the election down in Manhattan. And like I said, we have many of the counties we're coming together to make a plan. And in that plan, we're going to decide what the order of business is going to be. You know, especially in a difficult place like New York City, we've got five boroughs down there, and we have two counties on Long Island. So there's seven counties down there. And they got a high population and a lot of problems. There's a lot of criminal activity going on down there. So they're not going to let go of that power very lightly. And so, you know, many of us from the northern part of the state, or at least north of them, not necessarily too far up north, we're heading down there for that purpose, to show their support and let them know we'll come down and we'll sit and we'll talk to the judges with them or for them. You know, we have a lot more experience than most of the people down there. There are a couple individuals, I think, we're trying to get into the system, and I think if they join us, and I'm sure they will when they see what we're doing, they're very, very much capable of talking to judges and to different individuals and without being intimidated. But anyway, we're going to make a plan, and we're going to, see how we're going to go forward and start talking to these judges. So everyone else should be doing the same thing. That is the key thing that the state leader needs to be doing, making sure that a grand jury gets organized in every county, making sure that all these county leaders are talking to each other, getting them to know each other, getting them to partnership with each other, getting them to realize that we need to work together throughout the state to accomplish our goals, which is to reinstate the republic here in New York. Okay, let's go now back to where we were started from, juris documents, okay? And last week we spoke about a paper we wrote, How to Handle the Press. We also have I'm not sure what that is yet. I forget what that is. Let's go right to the affidavit, and then we'll start going through that list real quickly. Now, this is the affidavit we wrote. People can comment on this when we open up the chat. And it reads like this: I, and you print your name in there, which is the affiant, being of lawful age, qualified and competent, take the following oath as jurist. I vow to the governor of the universe, in my capacity as jurist, to ensure that all public servants uphold the United States Constitution and the Bill of Prohibitions, or the Bill of Rights, and to carry out all my deliberating under natural law, principled under justice, honor, and mercy, and to strictly adhere to the following two legal maxims. 1. Every right, when withheld, must have a remedy, and every injury, its proper redress. 2. In the absence of a victim, there can be no crime. Corpus delicti. The state cannot be the victim, so help me God. And that's it. We all need to put our names on this and sign it before a notary. And then whoever is going to be holding the files for the grand jury, the administrators, whoever's going to be maintaining the files, everyone should have one of these on file. Whenever an individual comes in to serve as a jurist, whether it be through our registry, which is the primary registry. We'll use that first to call up people to see if they want to come in to sit on a grand jury or a trial jury. And I'm sure we'll pull a few here or there as time as we need them. And then the rest we'll pull out of a general pool. We'll use probably the voting registry. That's what they use, so we'll use the same thing. So we'll use the voting registry. We'll use we'll focus in on those who are active voters, and then we'll call them up as jurists. And when they come in, you know, if they can serve, then we'll go take them through an orientation. We're going to set up a four-hour orientation plan. Basically, it'll probably be 1 hour video and then, you know, 2 or 3 hours of conversations. And we'll kind of lay out some things and thoughts and ideas. And I'm sure everybody will come up with some other ideas. And the key thing is really we're teaching these people to rethink how they look at things and to understand that that they have jury nullification, that the people are the boss, and that the final word is yours in that particular group, whether it be a grand jury or a trial jury. We need to let the trial jurist understand that they not only get to decide innocent or guilt, they also get to decide the penalty, and really what they need to be looking for is how can we restore the injured party. Of course, if it's a violent crime, jail is probably in focus here. We can't allow violent people to run loose. But we do have to do something with the prisons, and that's something we as a people can talk later on how we can really try to, if anything can be done with these people. I mean violent people is what we're talking about. But generally, most crime, a lot of crimes are nonviolent crimes, and really people just need to be restored, so they don't necessarily need to go to prison. We've spoke about this many times already. But in any event, each person that comes into the trial, to a trial jury or a grand jury, they need to understand the principles. And they need to also, at the end of that 4 hour or whatever time period we create for that orientation for them, they then must sign an affidavit. And they're agreeing. This is the rules right here. This affidavit really lays out the rules. Now, we do have a rules page. Let's see, that's right here. And that really just coincides with that affidavit. But people can read the rules. This is something that they can take with them, make copies of this. It's one page. Tried to keep it as simple as possible. And each person can take that with them. And, of course, we'll get them a copy of the jury handbook, which is also the jury sheriff, bailiff, and judge handbook. The handbook is for all of us, which really lays out the common law and the law of the land. So these are a couple of documents. I'm not going to go through many of these. People need to go up here through themselves. This is a very, very interesting one right here, trial by jury. It's an MP3 and PDFs. And it really is about 15 hours of MP3s, and it's a book in PDF form. I forget how many pages it is. I forget the name. Oh, this guy named Spooner wrote this. This was written back in 1847, I believe. So it's kind of way back in the beginning, close to the beginning, when things were much more real than what they are today. And this guy wrote a book and laid out the history and the job and I mean, just laid out the jury. And everyone here needs to go and listen to this. If you want to read it, there's a PDF book that you can print out or you can read it on your computer. So if you click on this, this is a zip file, okay? So you'll get all 15 MP3s. I think it's 15 MP3s. It's quite a few. It's probably about 12 to 15 hours of reading. Or you can read it by reading the book. Okay. So everybody should do this. This blew my mind. I have not finished this myself. I only been through a couple hours of this, but I was very impressed. And I don't think it's going to go rogue on us. I think it was so on point that I immediately put it up. Okay. Grand jury enforcement authorities, we have U.S. versus Williams here. The jurist handbook we have here, and again, we're going to get these printed out. you know, I really apologize that we have not got a place. I've been to three publishers already, and we get to the point where I'm waiting for a price, and it never comes. So I'm going to be looking. I got two more publishers I just, you know, chased out today. I've been calling this other publisher numerous times, and they're not answering their phones, and they're not returning my calls. So I'm going to try two others, and we'll eventually find someone who will give us a price, and we'll publish our handbook. And so I will endeavor to work on that again this week. I'll endeavor to do it tomorrow. Last week was really tough. I did make the calls, but I didn't go searching out for a new one. But anyway, two publishers I've got a hold of today. What else we got here? I am writing right now a page, a couple of pages. It's going to be a synopsis. And basically, we'll put this on our front page and a Precy, or synopsis. It means the same thing. And basically what this is, it's going to be a synopsis of what our whole plan is. So anybody who comes to the site, this may be about five pages. I'm not sure how many pages it's going to be. But it'll give them a quick synopsis of what it is we're doing and how we're doing it. I know some people, you know, they say it takes a while before they figure out exactly what we're doing. I tried to lay out a breadcrumb trail, but maybe it's not too obvious. So I think by doing this synopsis, it will help people to see much clearer and much quickly in one reading, oh, this is what they're doing, and kind of lay it out. So we'll probably put this right under the video on the front page, and we will also put it on the Jurist page, and hopefully I'll finish it this week. I thought I'd have it finished before tonight, but things always come up, and I just haven't been able to. I guess we'll start here with the letters. We got a letter from the county clerk. Let's see which one this is. This is from, is this Orange County? Open with different viewer. Yeah, this is Orange County, I believe. Where is that? Oh, I guess it's down here. Okay. Now, this isn't really a letter. This is kind of a slick way for them to try to... I'll tell you what. Their response to what we're doing here in New York is feeble. I can't think of a better name. It's pretty pathetic. It's feeble. Clearly, they're frightened to tell us to just go away or to... and they're clearly frightened to write us a letter and say, no, you can't come in. Clearly, they're frightened to just send our paperwork back. But they're looking for ways to do it, and they're trying to figure it out. This is something that happened in Orange County, and basically they had had the paperwork for, I think, 8 or 10 days. I think 10 days. I think Carl's here. Maybe he can correct that if I'm in error. But they had it 8 or 10 days. And they made the mistake, though, of going down to the county. They were going to get a LIBOR number or something. I forget what it was. But this is the paper that when they saw them and was talking with them, they realized, well, now it's our opportunity to give these paperwork, to get out of their records. They wanted to give it back to them. And they gave them this document saying that they had to get an index number. And this was a pretty slick move from there on their end. You go down here, the following additional information is required. This type of document is not one filed or recorded with the county clerk. If you believe that this is a proper place for recording filing, please provide the section of New York State law under which you are submitting. And then they said that they had to get an index number. And an index number in New York means you're filing a court case, which means you're asking for, ultimately you'll eventually go for what's called an RJI, but you're asking to take it into the courts. And that's what they love to do, is get it into the courts. And, of course, there's no reason to do that. So we sent it back with a copy of this that they sent us, and this was our response to them. And we put this up here because these are the kind of things you might get, and these are the kind of responses you might want to make. And, again, you will have to, you know, make a decision on how you're going to respond. You can bring the letter to us. You can call me up and get me a copy of the letter, and we can hammer out a letter for you. But we do have to be very careful in how we respond to these people, number one. And we definitely want to keep the upper hand. Look, at we need to go in there with authority, and that's what we're doing. We're going in with authority. We're not asking them for anything. We're telling them what we need, what they need to do. So in this particular case, we sent the paperwork back with this letter. They got it today. Well, I'm not sure when Carl sent it out. But it says here, you are commanded under penalty of law to file the attached public notice to all men constituting an Orange County grand jury immediately, nung pro tung, forevermore. You are commanded to perform your ministerial function and hereby reminded a second time that you have no tribunal powers. That power is reserved to the people alone. The power invested in the people to perform this act is so ordained in the Fifth Amendment by the same, and in like manner so constituted in the preamble, where we read, we the people do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. For further confirmation, see the attached authorities to the Declaration of the Constitution of an Orange County Grand Jury. And as you can see, we signed it, the person's name, and it is Grand Jury Administrator. I strongly suggest everybody identify themselves in all letter writing as a Grand Jury Administrator. Until the grand jury is pulled together for a purpose, you're not necessarily a grand jurist, but you are the people, and you are going out an investigative force. And when four people come together to deal with a problem like we're going to be dealing with in New York, we're going to let them know we are the grand jury at that point. We're not just the administrators, we're the grand jury. And we represent with sort of the...
Go ahead. You don't give your names out because they're secret. If they ask you for the names of the jurors, you never give them. They're not allowed to know.
Right.
The administrator they get, but the grand jurist they don't get.
That's an interesting thing, which we're going to talk a little more about, because one of the individuals who's in here with us today, Harold, hopefully we're going to get him on the mic soon to tell us a little bit about his story down in Suffolk. And one of the things they asked for was the rouster. And he said, well, I don't have a rouster. And look, if you can't give the names of anyone out, who is asking for the names of the jury? Who and why would they want the names of jury members? Who are these people? We're going to talk about that. Remember, we have to come back. If they're out to investigate us, no, we turn it right around and say, wait, excuse me, what are you talking about? You know, we're going to now mount an investigation. And we're going to talk about how we'll handle that particular case, which we'll get to shortly. But let's deal with this letter here. So this is a letter. You can, you know, if you get this kind of a reaction from these people, you can send this letter out as a potential. And again, you know, feel free to call me up and get me a copy of the letter, and we'll hammer one out for you, and we'll keep it on point. Now, here is a second one from a county clerk. Let's see, open with a different viewer. I don't know why these just don't open in here. Okay.
I have trouble with the PDF.
Right. The other one, they didn't know what to do with. This is the one with the index number. There was two of them. This is in Dutchess County here, and it goes off to the enclosed instruments are being returned because of incorrect or incomplete information. Please review the reasons below. Correct and return the instruments. Dutchess County index number must be affixed to the documents prior to filing. See, they're trying to get us to file an index number, which brings us into the courts, which allows the judge to adjudicate. That's not going to happen. It goes on to say your original check for the amount of $0 is enclosed. Now, they crossed that out for some reason, and the county clerk initialed it. I'm only thinking that they're trying to tell us, hey, go file the index number. We're not going to charge you for it. I don't know why they did that, but I presume. Please leave this letter attached when returning. Sincerely, the clerk. So now that's fine. They sent us the paperwork back. I was really surprised they did that. And so this is how we responded to them with a letter here. And it goes, let's see. Is this the right one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. You are commanded under penalty of law, similar to the other one, to file the attached public notice to all men constituting a Dutchess County grand jury immediately, nunc pro tunc, forevermore. This is neither an action or a proceeding, and therefore does not need an index number. This is a historical document being filed for a memorial. You are commanded to perform your ministerial function and are hereby again reminded that you have no tribunal power. That power is reserved to the people alone. The power invested in the people to perform this act is so ordained in the Fifth Amendment by the same and in like manner so constituted in the preamble, whereas we read, we the people do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. For further confirmation, see the attached authorities and declarations, Constitution of the Dutchess County Grand Jury.
Can you make that bigger? Can you make it bigger? It's like really small. There you go. I guess you couldn't get it all on there.
Is that coming through?
That's coming through nice, except for now you need to scroll it, but at least people can read it.
So, anyway, you know, we're keeping it simple. We're keeping it focused. We're commanding. We're not, you know, these people's responses and letters are pretty feeble. They're dancing around. They're saying, well, we don't know what to do with this, so, you know, you got to tell us. You know, we think you have to file a number, so please resubmit it with your number. You see, they're being very careful, and we'll give them credit for that. But it's pretty darn feeble. Of course, we talked about last week what happened with, you know, in Nassau County, and I haven't heard anything back. They were supposed to write a letter, so they never wrote a letter back, and that's a pretty wise move on their end because they were going to use this particular judge to do that, and that has not happened. And again, that's a wise move because if that judge turns around to tell them anything or tries to send a paper back and say, hey, you cannot do this or whatever the case may be, we got them. All right, so let's move on to the next thing. This is a letter from the court clerk, okay? So this is from the court clerk. I guess I got to do the same thing here again, open with another, open with, okay. Okay, so thank you for your recent letter concerning a county common law grand jury. Please be advised, the grand jury in this county is within the exclusive control of the Dutchess County District Attorney, not the courts. Accordingly, you may contact the office of the District Attorney, with respect to your inquiry. Now, they didn't send our paperwork back, but this is a letter we got, which I found this quite interesting. You know, first of all, the district attorney is in charge of the grand jury, and he's in control or she's in control. Well,
the exclusive control.
Exclusive control.
Yeah, so that's bad.
This is how we responded to this one. Okay. Okay. I believe that you are misinterpreting our communication. We are not asking the court's permission, nor do we have a desire to have a dialogue with the county district attorney at this time. The people ordained the Constitution for its government. Therefore, the court and the county district attorney are under the people's exclusive control, and not the other way around. We strongly suggest that you read United States versus Williams on this matter. The reason for our filing with the court is to make the court aware that the people of Dutchess County constituted a grand jury, and we expect that the documents be filed with the court for a memorial. Our cover letter clearly requested that you direct us to the custodian so that we can gain access to the grand jury room in the people's building. As Justice Antonin Scalia said in the United States versus Williams, The grand jury should operate in the courthouse under the judicial how do you pronounce that? Gerard Aspreys?
Auspices.
Auspices.
Yeah, the auspices.
Auspices. Under judicial auspices. we expect a response by fax or phone within 48 hours, giving the name and phone number of the custodian that will give us access to the grand jury room in the People's Courthouse, respectfully. Now, this was sent out on Friday. Well, actually, I got it out Saturday morning. So they got that this morning. So they got Monday, they got Tuesday. And if we don't hear back from Tuesday, then I'm going to call them on Wednesday, or maybe we'll go down and see them. Not sure how we'll deal with that, but we got another 24 or 36 hours to figure out how we're going to respond. But we will share with everyone how we're responding. And this is important. This is one of the major reasons why we have got to come together every Monday to discuss things of this nature. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the real education is going to take place. When we make a mistake and we fix that mistake, there's no reason for you to make that mistake. You need the experience of other people, and we need the experience of other people. So we need to share the experiences of what happens to us and how these people deal with us so we all become educated and we know exactly how to deal with these people. We will not allow them to investigate us. We will turn this around and we will investigate them. And this kind of leads us to the next thing, which maybe if Harold is here, is Harold out there? I think I saw him in. Harold, would you... Would you like to explain, you know, give us sort of a synopsis of what took place? And then after you finish, I'm going to comment on some of the plan that I have for down there. And, of course, you and I will discuss and agree on this. It's your county, not mine. And then we'll really hammer something out. But let me give you the mic, and if I can. Okay. There's the mic, Harold. Go right ahead. Tell us... your experience today. He's not coming in good, is he, Gerard? You're coming in broken up. Are you hearing him, Gerard? Yeah, I'm getting it from you, too.
But the problem with Mike, I hear him pretty good.
You hearing him pretty good? Okay. Well, go ahead.
Anyway, Mike, I'm going to go down and get to work. And the first one introduced him from the community. And they announced we're from the FBI. I made my morning. The wife was calling me. Well, who's there? I said, well, we have someone from the New York State court system and the papers we filed. And the other two guys are from the FBI. She says, what? Anyway, so I invited them in. We sat down and talked, you know, and they were friendly. They just wanted to know... what was the base? In effect, what was the basis of I asked them why did they come here for this? I mean, I saw that. I thought it was pretty clear what was written, and they said, well, the court didn't understand what I was requesting. They said, why, you want to have access to the courthouse? I said, no, it's more than that. I want four things. I want access to the courthouse. I want an assigned grand jury room. I want IDs for all the grand jury members, and I want a mail box or address I could use to receive mail within the court. Okay, so then we went further down. They were writing everything down. Incidentally, John, the first guy from the FBI, uh-huh. I looked at his paper down here. I found it interesting. The special agent, New York, violent crime squad. That's what it says on there.
No kidding.
I looked at it back.
That was the Rob Fosty guy?
The Duffy.
Duffy, okay. All right.
So I found that interesting. I didn't notice it at the time, but, you know. Mm-hmm. So they asked about it, you know, and what else? Then they wanted to know what, you know, basically the purpose of all this is basically to support the U.S. Constitution. I said, didn't you, all of you, take an oath to support the Constitution? They agreed yes. And Ducky, the main FBI agent here, he was saying, yeah, he says, we're on, look, I'm on your side. That's what he's saying. That's what he told me. He told me that several times he was there. And that's pretty much in a nutshell. That's what I was getting at. And let's see. You know, he asked if I'm a member of Tea Party. So I'm not a member of Tea Party. I support the Tea Party. Not everything I agree with, but, you know, no, I'm not a violent person or anything like that, but the point is it has nothing to do with it. I said, it's nothing to do with the Tea Party. It has to do with just individuals supporting the U.S. Constitution. We want to form a common law grand jury in each county to hold those who took an oath accountable. That's all.
Now, there were three people that came. Two were FBI agents, and one person was from the court. Now, this guy, Rob Fosty, was supposed to have been from the court, correct?
Yeah. I don't have his name in front of me, but yeah. But he said, but the interesting thing is that I see the phone number that he had was the same phone number in New York City, 212 area code, as the second FBI agent.
Stephen Buller.
The chair of office.
Right. And we made that phone call, and it was the FBI, and, you know, it went through the main switchboard, and you had to hit numbers to do certain things, but we didn't take it any further than that, which we found it kind of strange that Rob Fosty, who identified himself as a court individual, somebody from the court, yet gave the same number as the FBI agent from New York City.
Yeah.
Also,
there's also, I found something interesting, and I looked through all the papers that they had. I asked to see what they had, and to make sure that everything we filed, I didn't put anything in there that wasn't ours. I noticed that the declaration, pages 3, 4, and 5 were missing. I asked them what happened to that, and they didn't know. That's all they were given.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So they didn't want them to have, that's all the background of what this is all about. So
that's right. Now, I mentioned to them about U.S. versus Williams. That's just what it's about. And they were not familiar with it. That's what they claimed. And he wrote it down, U.S. versus Williams. And I showed him U.S. versus Williams. I showed him highlighted portions of that. To show him that, the branch of government, all that. I went through all the details, some of the details. And he said that they weren't expecting to get so much information, so many details on this, but they expected just a quick visit. And they said, actually told me they're getting... They're getting training over here. So I said, look up U.S. versus Williams, and they're going to do that. They promised they'd do that and get back to me.
We should all have a copy of U.S. versus Williams for these situations that we can hand it to them. Because they're holding back information because, you know, these guys are investigators, and if they give them the whole story, they might not come out to begin. If they read U.S. versus Williams, they go, what are you sending me over there for? This is bullcrap. You see, I believe that they're using the FBI to intimidate us. And so he called, who knows what he told them. We don't know what he told them. And the fact that he didn't give us the right number and he's filtering his number through the FBI main switchboard is, you know, he's a public official. Why should he hide his number? You know, we should be able to get a hold of this guy. They did ask you if you were a sovereign citizen, too, did they not?
Well, yes, they did. They asked if I was a sovereign citizen. I said, well, what do you mean by that? I actually never heard that term before, personally. And besides, so I had to define it. What is sovereign citizen? I never heard of that. And I really didn't define it. So, look, it's nothing to do with whatever that is. I don't know. All I know is just people supporting the U.S. Constitution.
Everybody needs to understand what they're really trying to do. When the FBI came to visit me some weeks back, and then I even had the visit from the Treasury Department.
The Treasury Department. You're a popular guy.
And one of the first questions they ask me if I'm one of them sovereign citizens. And what they're really asking you is, they're defining them as the terrorists. So you have to be careful how you respond to them. And that's kind of an oxymoron in today's language until we get through and get rid of the fiction, the idea of being sovereign and a citizen at the same time. Although, of course, I think in our founding fathers' thinking that, of course, was possible because they did call us citizens and we were sovereign. But we don't want to fall into that trap. I don't belong to those groups. As a matter of fact, I've made it a very, very a big point in my thinking, and I'm not joining any group. You know, I've already had people ask me, why don't we combine forces? Why don't we do this? No, they're doing other things, and I'm not interested in doing other things. I'm just interested in teaching people how to do what they have to do to take control of their neighborhood, because this is what the people have to do. And I don't want to connect what we're doing with anything else. So I'm not any of those things, and I don't want to become part of those things. But we're just people trying to recapture our republic and bring it back again. But going back here, a couple of things, and I want to suggest strongly, we've learned from this. We know that they're going to come out and talk to us. Don't get intimidated by these people, because really I think they are intimidated, especially with what we're doing. Like I said, their responses to us have been totally feeble, paper tigers, feeble. They don't know what to do. And we just have to keep that upper hand, since they don't know what to do, because we do know what to do, and we're going to press the point until they obey. And so this is the battle. This is where the real battle is. We only need to get one grand jury in throughout the entire state of New York, just one, and that'll wedge them all in. But we'll get through this, and this is not that we didn't expect that something like this would happen. Of course, this is where the resistance is. We can't do nothing until we get a seat in that courthouse. You can't do anything. Now, we can act as grand jurists if they're preventing us from gaining access to the people's building, and that's what we're going to do, which we'll talk about in a minute. But one of the key things I think everybody needs to realize, get a copy of U.S. versus Williams. Get two copies. Get a little briefcase or a folder or something, and keep it in the folder in your house somewhere, or when you're traveling. You should have it with you. Okay, a couple of things. And if you're ever stopped by these people, you'll be prepared. You want a copy of that. Get a half a dozen press releases. Okay, remember, we have the greatest press release agent going. His name is Antonio Scalia. It's what he said. It's not what I said. That's what our press release says. Go to our page here, and you get this stuff right here. Look at right here. Here is how to handle the press. This is the press release right here. I think this is it. Let's open it up.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, yeah, this is the press release, second page. All you got to do is put the information here of your county, your state. I wouldn't put the courthouse address here until you get one, so I'd leave that out, okay? But once you're in, you can use that. Again, the date that you constituted, which is the date that you elected the grand jury, your county, your state, your county, your state. And that's it. Fix this up, get it to your state, make up a half a dozen copies, keep it with U.S. versus Williams. And if you ever are questioned by the FBI, you give them a copy of this. Give them a copy of the press release. Say, look, this is what Antonio Scalia says. We're not doing anything that's strange. Go complain to him if you think it's a problem. Okay, go talk to him. Also, you give him a copy of United States versus Williams. And here's a very important thing. Get a digital recorder and keep it in with your folder. Because the moment you get questions, the moment you got to turn that whole thing around. First of all, don't let it get personal. They start asking you personal questions. It's none of their business. What are you here for? Who made this? You start asking them questions. Who made the complaint? What kind of complaint is it? Get the names of the people. Put the recorder. Yeah, open the
one of them was from New York State Court. That's mm-hmm. the one that he put in the complaint. Like I said, blame me. I'm the one who put in the.
Rob Fosty?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. We searched his name on Google. We put on the courts down there in Suffolk County. We even did New York County. We couldn't find him. But
what business does he have putting a complaint into the FBI?
That's a false complaint.
Over that's right. That's a false complaint.
It's also obstruction of justice.
And not only that, he took those papers out of the courthouse, walked them over to this guy's house. That's 20 years. You're supposed to take those papers out of
that's
that
right.
courthouse.
This is obstruction of justice.
He could have copied them and left the paper in there. So
actually,
first thing
judge,
he... Huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Papers, he then passed it on to the, to the chief court officer, and apparently then the flow then went to this guy, Faust.
Well, let me tell you something. The judge, the chief court officer, and Faust all touched those papers, and they all are culpable for that. They're all liable for that.
Okay,
because the judge picked the papers up, and instead of making sure, telling the clerk to go ahead and file them, he gave them to somebody else who brought them to the house. That was the wrong thing to do. Now, now it doesn't necessarily.
They could have made copies of it, and they should have left.
That's right. Them. That's right. Listen, this is a legal document, and this guy knows we're not terrorists. This guy's terrorized because they must have some bad stuff going on in the court, and they certainly don't want the people in there poking around. You know, I tell them the same thing they tell us. Well, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't worry that the government's watching you. Well, we're the people, and if they're not doing anything wrong, they shouldn't worry that we're over there watching them or investigating them. And that's exactly the way we're going to turn that around. Because out of anybody investigating anybody, the people certainly have a right to ask questions of their serving government.
All right. One of the other things you want to make sure you have with you is a good digital recorder. Okay, I went out and bought a small one. I think I bought it for, I don't know, $79. I wanted to get something that was good, that you can, you know, hear a person that's speaking 10, 15 feet away. And so I got one. It's a nice tiny, it's pretty small. And you take that recorder. Whenever you come into a situation, you take the recorder out of your pocket or out of your folder. You click it on. You say, this conversation is being recorded. And you start asking them questions, you know. You want to know who makes the complaint, why are you here, you know, all these kind of things. We decided with this particular situation, we're going to turn the tables on them because, you know, they had my name, so we figured, well, they're going to contact me next. So we decided, well, let's contact them first. So we gave a call to this guy, Robert Buffy, which we've tried numerous times to connect with him. He doesn't seem to answer his phones. But in any event, we did leave a message. We're going to try tomorrow, and if we can't get this guy Duffy tomorrow, we're going to go for his supervisor is. And we're going to get to the bottom of this. But the bottom line is this, is we told him that we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to meet them. We'll come down and set something up probably in Putnam County somewhere. Not sure where yet, but we're thinking Putnam County because we have a good place. We're going to do this in the library. Since we don't have access into a courtroom, we're going to do it in the library. So it's a public building, and we're going to get a stenographer. And so when they come to this meeting, they're going to come in. We're going to set it up in such a way so that they understand that they're the ones going to be interrogated, and we're going to be the grand jury. There's going to be quite a few of us. Try to get 25 of us, maybe more, but as many as we can, to come sit on the upper tier of this room in this conversation, and we'll set them, you know, in a way that they understand that they're the ones that we're questioning. We're going to have a stenographer in the room, and we're going to put a recorder down on the table, and we're going to let them know that this is being recorded, and obviously there's a stenographer over there, and that this is now an investigation by the grand jury of New York. And there are many counties being represented here, but nevertheless there's only one grand jury. And we have quite a few questions for you. Of course, at this meeting we're going to want these three individuals here, especially the guy who thinks that he can go out and file a false claim and call the FBI in to investigate something that needs not be investigated. We need to understand why this guy was so concerned that he had to get the FBI in here. Why couldn't he just make a phone call and talk to us? Why couldn't he just come down and give a call to Harold and say, hey, Harold, you know, I'd like to find out what's going on here. Can we meet for coffee? You know, I'll come up your way. Whatever. I mean, what's wrong with these people? Well, we're going to turn this whole thing around. We're going to make this an investigation, and we're going to get to the bottom of it ourselves. We're not going to let them intimidate us. Anyway, Harold, that's kind of the plan we're thinking. You and I can personally discuss this and see once what you think, but we need to do something on it. We also, have you heard anything back from Nassar? Because by now they should have had a letter out. They said they were going to send a letter out last Monday.
My understanding was, while it was left off with Virginia, that was left at the DA,
right.
took the filing, and he was supposed to respond to them.
Right.
Did the DA respond to them?
I haven't heard anything, nothing. Yeah. Virginia told me she would call me as soon as she got something. Is she on the line? Let's see if she's here. If you're here, Virginia, raise your hand, and we'll unmute you if you want to comment on any of this. I don't see her hand going up, so.
I'll call her tomorrow.
Anyway.
Who gave that to the prosecutor? The court did? How did the prosecutor end up with the papers?
The court.
Oh, so the court gave it to the prosecutor.
No, she sent it to the chief clerk, and she also sent it to the county clerk. The county clerk is the one, my understanding from her, is that the county clerk, not the chief clerk, the county clerk said it is not the proper place to file. It's to be filed with the DA, because they have control, like you had in one of the other counties that you just mentioned. They have control of the grand jury, so you should file go to the DA, and they put it to the DA.
No, that was wrong.
Okay,
That was wrong. That was a mistake.
Well, I'll have to call her tomorrow and talk with her about it
right.
And try to work that, fix that up. Because, look, that paper has got to go back to that courthouse, and it is to be filed for a memorial files.
It went to the chief clerk. It's the county clerk, Nassau County clerk, who's the one who said it should go to the DA.
Okay, well, no, that belongs in the county. We're gonna pull all those people in,
The Nassau County clerk had no authority to put those papers back down to the DA. The Nassau County clerk should have just filed it.
We're gonna combine these two counties.
She should not have pulled them out and sent them to the DA. That's none of her business. She has no powers.
Ministerial. Tribunal powers.
Right, no tribunal powers. Ministerial powers, she does. Yeah, file a thing. Be the minister you're supposed to be. Be the clerk you're supposed to be. She is not allowed to make a decision. What she's doing is making a decision saying, I can't file this, it has to go to the court. She's wrong. And the fact that she took them out and gave them to the clerk, she doesn't know it, but she committed a crime.
Exactly.
Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to present her because she's ignorant, but, you know, depending on her attitude about the thing, when we go talk to her, those papers need to go back into the clerk. They need to be filed the way they should have been to begin with. And the prosecutor has nothing to do. If you read Williams versus USA, it becomes clear that the judge or the prosecutor does not have control over the common law grand jury, none whatsoever.
Yes, yeah. I read that to the people that came to the FBI, and they were totally unaware and didn't know what to answer. They never heard of it. They wrote it down. I showed them. He jotted down portions. I showed them in there, and they were totally, as they put it, we're getting training here. That's what exactly said.
Well, a couple of things here. Let's step back a bit here. You know, one of the things, and we all need to realize this, you see, this is a great example for us to learn by. And so if this happens to anyone else, there's a couple of things that you'd want to do differently and make some certain points differently. And we're going to learn as we go, we're going to make some errors and we'll get them right eventually. But, you know, first of all, Harold did good when they asked for a rouster. Is that what they asked for? They asked for some kind of a rouster?
Do you have a roster of members?
Right.
That could have been a trick question, too, you know.
Right. But, you see, the thing is this. Here's the thing. Who are these people that think that they get the name of jurors? Who do they think they are? And, you see, this is going to be part of our investigation. Who is revealing the names of jurors to people outside of the court system? Why is there an investigation going on because of that and so on? So we need to get into this. No one is to reveal the name of another jurist. But when we call this agent today and when we call tomorrow, but we left a message, but our plan was this. I would reveal myself with my name, and I would let them know, you know, I would tell them I'm one of the administrators of the grand jury, but on the line with us are two or three, you know, depending on when we call, two or three jurists, whose name I'm not going to release because it's not appropriate for you to know who they are. And this phone call is being recorded, and then we're going to go through the process, and we're going to tell them what we're going to do. We're going to make a meeting, and we'll set this up in a proper way, and we're going to get all of these people into one room, and we're going to start drilling them to find out what is going on here. Do you want to say something, Gerard?
No, go ahead.
And well, what is going on here? So, as you can see, this is extremely, you know, I've been trying to get the word out to everybody. This is now the state leaders' jobs to make sure that all the county leaders, at least the county leaders, the people who are the leaders of your county, you need to get experience. And you need to get experience from other people's experiences. You need to know how to deal with these situations. You know, I get some phone calls from people, they don't know where certain papers are or they didn't know this or that. We have to, this is what these meetings are for. to learn what the process is, how to do the things the right way, how to write a letter. And again, we can use examples from other people, the letters that they write, and we can learn from this. But it's so important that we come to these Monday night meetings in order that we can learn. So it is really up to the state organizer to make sure that they push the county leaders to come to these meetings so that we can all have good information and we can be successful. We're not going to get a second chance at this. This is not a game. This is not something that we can just run off the hip with and just go with this. We have to be successful. We can't afford to lose. And so that's a very important point that we must understand. We only have one shot at this, and we got to get the job done. So we need to learn as we go on. I think with that, I think we've got enough on our plate to talk about tonight. So there are people with hands up. I think we'll go to the people. I see that Joe Kelly has had his hand up for 40 minutes so since the beginning. So let me open up his mic, and we'll take it from there. Go ahead, Joe. You got the mic.
Okay. I was the one that had the problem with the oath, and right. I still have a little bit of problem, but the wording, I can't imagine writing something better than the wording that you have in the affidavit. But the problem I have is how do you do that? It has to be witnessed, and is it sacred or is it solemn? Because if it's sacred, then you have to have an object, and the object that I would want is the Declaration of Independence. You could ask for choices. You could say it's sacred, it's an oath, it's on the Bible. I would say no thanks. It's sacred, yes, and the Bible, I have no problem with a lot of that's in the Bible, but not all of it. But I have no problem with everything in the Declaration of Independence. So put them both on there. Now it's sacred. Now if it's just solemn, then the difference is sacred is the rule of law, not men. Not men ruling men. It's rule of law, God ruling men. Sacred. That's what I would do. Solemn, I think, is, okay, I'm going to cross my fingers and I'm just going to, you know, go with the flow here. It's might makes right. So I think you really have to get that witness down. And to me, when you're going into these things where there's FBI agents and stuff like that, to me, because I got really tuned up on this when they were doing their crap in Waco. So to me, it's like, no, I'm here so that no more Wacos happen here. You're the FBI agents. I've got the solemn oath. And really, to me, instead of just having a stenographer or you're recording there, the better thing would be to have a recording that's, and you tell them, this is recorded and this is now live, uploaded, and it's going to be on YouTube.
And well, no. The grand jury can't.
We gotta be careful with that because this is turning into a grand
this
jury.
Yeah, this is if the FBI would look at it, if I sat down with them and had a conversation and pulled out my recorder and sat on the table and said, I want to let you know this is being recorded because this has now become an investigation from our perspective. Now, when the FBI, the first thing the FBI agent is going to say, or any agent is going to say, well, I'd like to have a copy of that. No, you may not have a copy of that. This is an official meeting at this point, and it is inappropriate for you to walk out with a copy of this. You're not going to have it. Now, let's get on with it. You see, you got to take control of the meeting. You got to talk with authority, and we have to use honor and integrity here. And anything that the grand jury does, okay, is in total secrecy. Any investigation, any conversation, you cannot share it with people. You cannot put this on YouTube. It would make a mockery of the whole thing also, but definitely you cannot put anything like this onto the Internet. As a matter of fact, that audio, okay, I think eventually should be put onto paper by the secretary and then probably destroyed. I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that. People may have to make that decision up themselves, but definitely would have to go under lock and key and put into a file and not shared with people in any way.
Okay. I had wrote down that, to me, you're behind in principle, this group, but you're way ahead of me in practice. So I'm gonna say
right.
that.
What I want to do with you is I want you to call me during the week, and we'll get Gerard, maybe a few other people. I want to get a little more educated in some of the things you're talking about and look into these things and then – consider what you're saying, and because you're making sense, and you're talking about some things I'm not aware of, you know, a solemn oath or so on. So we need to talk.
Right. Right. Okay. Because I'm on board, and I want to get to the next step. And I've done a lot of writing. I think that's probably my best offer in this whole thing. Is I know how to write.
Okay. Well, let's talk because I'm in the middle of writing a paper, and which is a synopsis of what we're doing, and maybe we can get you a copy and see once what you might do with that once I get it done.
And the okay. time. Let me just say something. The time for publicity will become when we need it, like when they do stuff to us, like if they back off and they leave us alone and they recognize us and they behave, there's no reason to drag them through the coals, so to speak. But if they start playing hardball and start doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing, then we need to engage, you know, the body politic, the people, because that's where our power is going to come. And, you know, if they start to become the bully, you know, there's definitely going to be no Waco here. You know what I mean? We have to make it very unpopular for them to come after us because, listen, this is the people about the business of the people, of the government. The government they are our employees. We are their boss. They have to get that down. They don't like that. They don't like to hear that, I'm sure. I know the ones that are listening now, maybe it chafes some of them. But ultimately, that's what it's about. And so, you know, if you want to come after the people, you better be prepared for the people to rise up, and you're going to have to answer to all the people. And we can be very articulate, and we can, you know, we can bring our case in. And I think we're going to prevail. You know what I mean? I don't think that we have to jump right away, give them a chance to correct their wrong, so to speak, because we talk about, you know, mercy and justice and all that stuff. And I mean, and justice comes when justice is needed, and justice will be when they lash out against us unjustly, then they're going to have the wrath of the people, you know? So, and I mean, and we definitely have that power, and that's why this is so powerful. And you know, we've had some talk about sheriffs and, with the sheriffs on board, the sheriffs not on board. Listen, the sheriff needs the grand jury more than anything. More than we need the sheriff.
Right. The sheriff needs us. We don't need the sheriff. Trust me on this, because we have the authority, and believe me, it's being proven right now by the way things are going, because these people are going into hyperventilation. They don't know what to do. They're frightened to death, okay? They're trying, first of all, look, at a lot of grand juries have gotten really pushed away because they didn't know what to do. We know what to do. We have a lot of experience behind us, not only in our own experiences. We have people with lots of 20, 30 years of experience that are in the background, so to speak. And so we've got a lot of shoulders that we can stand on, and we know what to do, and we know how to respond to them. We're not going to let them pull their authority over us. And the way we respond is just going to make them more upset and more nervous. Once they realize that they can't pull this game, look, this has happened to us before where the FBI was called and then the FBI walked away from the whole thing because they knew there was nothing here. This has happened twice already to us. Ultimately, it happened to me directly and it happened to Gerard up north in Greene County. And they're not going to get involved in this because there's nothing here for them to get involved in. We're not doing anything crazy. We're not, we don't belong to any radical groups. We're not saying, telling people to get rid of their driver's licenses and to denounce their citizenship. We're not getting into any of that stuff. We have nothing to do with any of that stuff, and we never will, because this is not what we're about. We're about the people taking power and authority and bringing this thing back to a common law system so that you don't have to worry about that fiction. You want to get a license or you don't want to get a license, who cares? You do whatever you want then at that point. I'll always have a license because I might want to drive a commercial vehicle. And I think it's a darn good card for identity. Everybody seems to accept it, so it works for me. But anyway, let's move on. We'll talk, Joe. Give me a call during the week in the evenings, and we can connect with a few other people, and we'll talk about these things, okay?
Sounds good.
Right. Let me go on to
Carl's hand.
I know. I've got the minutes written up. I got Carl first. Oh, okay. Then Rosanna second, and Daryl third.
Listen, if you're going to do that, I'll pay more attention to the text chat, which I've been ignoring because I'm looking at it.
Okay, pay attention to the text chat, and you can throw some of these answers in between here.
Yeah,
okay, Mr. Carl, you've been unmuted.
Hello.
Goodbye.
You say hello.
we
it sounds like
make...
a Beatles song, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I know. It's...
So I actually switched to the phone because you were garbled at one point. So the dialogue box came up in the web.
Yeah, I heard it for a little while and went away then.
Yeah, so I just went to my phone and everything was cleared.
That could have
up.
Been the FBI dialing in.
Yeah.
Well, just a few corrections. Yeah, it was only 4 days. We sent it in on the 9th, and it was Friday that we picked it up, and we mistakenly were thinking we wanted an index number. And after talking to you, it's putting us right in their legal realm. So we want to stay away from that.
I mean, when they file it in the county clerk, they give you something called a LIBOR number. I think, like when they make a official filing.
LIBOR number.
LIBOR number. Yeah, there is a LIBOR number, but we don't need a LIBOR number. We
write
it to the general miscellaneous, and we don't pay anything because we're the people, and we own that building, and they work for us, and we're acting in an official capacity. You see, we have to start thinking not only free, but by the authority that we're given as jurists when we're acting on behalf of the jurist or the people. And we're acting in an official capacity. You know, we take control of the thing. You know, we're above the FBI agents. This is now our investigation. You can continue to talk to that one individual or two individuals that you think you have to talk to, but we want a recording of that, and we want it to be done. We want to know exactly why you're asking that person questions, who started this investigation, who made the complaint, what kind of complaint, and how does it come to the FBI's table, this whole thing? How does that work out? How does it become federal? You're in a state of New York, right? Not a state. You're in New York State. How has this become a federal issue to begin with? You know, so we have to take control. And I know to some people that might be a little difficult because maybe you're not used to speaking to these people. You know, we've got some experience, and there's other people who have more experience than us, and we will always rely on the experience, and then we will get our experience as we go along. And again, by us telling our stories and sharing what's going on and other people telling us what's going on, whatever they experience, we're all going to build from that. We're going to be edified and become stronger and more knowledgeable, more confident, and we're going to understand the game. They work for us, every single one of them. The FBI, the judge, whatever authority they come from, the court, you know. Hey, look at Scalia made it clear. He says, we can't second-guess the people. Read the case. It's so powerful. Understand what he was saying. They cannot be second-guessed. We can't. They could do whatever they want as long as they don't go after another person's unalienable rights. Then we have to get involved because we've got to protect that person. Other than that, they can't do or say anything. When we understand that power, then we can feel confident and talk with authority and put these people right back into the place and make them nervous, put them into hyperventilation or cardiac arrest. Anything else, Carl?
No.
Okay, let's go down to, Rosanna. Rosanna has been the longest since I worked my way down there. Go ahead, Rosanna, you got the mic. At least I'm trying to get the mic. Go ahead.
All right. Hello, everybody.
How you doing?
Oh, hanging in there. I'm glad that you're really covering this stuff tonight.
Uh-huh.
This is great because, you know, the problems and stuff that people coming up with. Okay, I have some things I want to ask you this. Okay, we got a state coordinator now. I think he's on here tonight, and he's probably going to call in.
What state is this?
And I'm sorry, Ohio.
Ohio. Okay, yes, I think I listed someone on Ohio today, didn't I? But go ahead, continue to talk.
Joe. And somebody's going to keep track of everybody's, you know, contact information. He's on here.
Right. And, yeah, that state organizer also will always figure out how many counties that have been elected or at least set on to the plan to be elected. And we need that count so that we can let everybody know what the count is. And let's see, Ohio is Joe. Yes, I spoke with Joe. I think it was today or maybe yesterday, but I did speak with Joe. And just to let everyone know, we need to hear from the county, from the state leaders, you know, how many counties are elected so we can kind of put the score up here. New York has 62 counties. We have 17 elected and counting. So, and we need to know that about other states.
And another thing we were talking about was, what do you have, like, a list of things that the state coordinator does that's responsible for, or?
You know what? I'm going to make that list. I have spoken the list, but I'm going to make the list. I will write it down, and I will get that up on the jurors page so everybody knows. Okay.
We were talking about, well, what do they do? I don't know.
Yes. Okay. So, well, the key thing that they do is that they make sure that they get in touch with someone in each county to get this this grand jury moving in every county. Get someone to spearhead it, and once they get them to spearhead it, to work with them to, you know, not only just stick their toe in the water, push them in the water. Let's get going. Let's get them elected. We don't need 10 people. We don't need 3 people. We just need one person to spearhead it. Let's do it. By the time you get to the election, you'll have 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 people. Make phone calls. And we'll help you. We'll make phone calls. We'll put the word out. We'll come. I go to most of the elections throughout the state, at least in the southern tier, and I'll be traveling in other places also, north, west, and central. But a lot of us, we travel to these places and participate with these other counties. I get to know everybody, and I try to convince them to do the same thing. New York City has been very active in the sense that they're starting to really work. They've been working together for a while now. They went to each other's elections. They talk to each other on the phone. We're going to be getting together this Friday. You know, it's a thing we have to do together. We have to work together. United we stand, and divided we shall fall.
Right, and we've really been trying to call the other counties off of our list in Ohio. Now, in Fulton County, I've speak to one of the people up there all the time. Fulton's really loaded with a lot of people, bless their hearts. But so we're in contact with all these people. We're just trying to get the system down, you know, and who's going to be doing what. But you're right, we need to work together. I want to talk to you about, speaking of working together, I got my seal, okay? I got it just the last week. So I'm getting ready to print off my paperwork and, you know, schedule the library meeting and then the press release. But what I wanted to do was, I know some of the other counties, a few of them are sitting with their seal and their paperwork. But there should be maybe, what, 4 in a state that kind of go the same week into the courthouse to do this?
Well, what we're teaching, and people, you know, the states, people will do what they want, but we're suggesting this. We waited till we had about 17 before we filed here in New York. You got to understand, though, biggest parts is the lower part of New York is the hardest core. We got 7 counties that's real hard. Well, actually, we got 9 counties that's real hardcore, and that's Rockland County, Westchester County, Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, New York and Suffolk and Nassau. All of that is down in the city areas. It's very hardcore, and they need support. They need a lot of support. They need to support each other, but they also need the counties above them to support them. So I purposely waited to get about 15 to 17 that were really before we started filing. And so that's why we got so many. But I'm suggesting most states probably 5. But if they want more, they want less, that's their business.
Right. But I mean, they should have their seal, have their paperwork done, ready to go to the courthouse, and then those 5 counties go kind of within the same week.
Right. So what you got to realize is that we had 5 elections, then we had 8 elections. Nobody filed. We just had the elections, 8 elections, 10 elections, 12 elections, 15 elections. Okay. At some point, we said, okay, let's file. Okay. But we all filed. But you can do all the elections. Get the elections going and then file together.
Okay, so just get all the paperwork done. Have the elections. Have them, reinstate them. You know, sign the paperwork. Get your witnesses. And then hold on to that paperwork till you've got X number of counties that are ready to march to the courthouse.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
In my county, I'm in Dutchess County. We were the first county in New York to get elected. We did that on July 18th. Okay, and other counties started to follow later in July, then in August, and the beginning of September. And then we decided, okay, now's the time to file.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had a lot of counties already elected, but we didn't file until we filed together.
Okay. Now, I've got one other thing you were talking about.
Oh, and one other thing. Once that block of five files, any county anywhere in the state after that, that's why, you know, even if they're halfway across the state, you guys need to be communicating with each other and working together with each other. But that county up there can file immediately, county 6, county 7, 10, 12, 15, just file. From now on in New York, any county that hits it files it. You know, we'll keep filing and filing.
Once they get their election done, then
right,
they
don't need to wait no more. Just file. And I already, you know, the furthest point from me, I'm in Dutchess County. It takes me 5.5 to 6 hours to get out to Niagara or Erie County. And if they needed me and Gerard or any of us from down here up there, we will come. Just call us and we will go. This is so important that this is the kind of sacrifices we have to make. And the people that have the experience or the people that can articulate well and so on, you know, we have to do what we have to do, because what sense is if you have a job or do anything or get anything and you don't have a place, you don't have a free place to live if you lose our country, if you lose our state. We have to save our state, you know. So
family.
We have to do what we got to do, man.
I know. Well, and John, okay, so that takes care of that question. Now, you were talking earlier about how some of these clerks are trying to tell you guys that they have to have numbers, case numbers.
Right.
We call them case numbers, okay?
Right.
Whenever you're in a case in a state, probate, civil, they all have to have case numbers. Acronyms are CV, CR, ES for estate, GI for guardian. I mean, they all have their acronym with the case number. Now, that's what they're telling you is we need a case number to file this.
Right. It's called they call it here an index number.
Yeah, well, yes. Here are their case numbers. But anyway, here's what I'm going to bring up with you. We have these ones that are called IRs. Now, whenever anybody takes an oath of office, the judges or anything like that, and they take it to the clerk of courts, they will file those O's, but underneath an IR number. It's called in the matter of. So that way they're actually filed on record, but they're not a case. They just have an identification number so they know where to find it.
Yeah, but you don't want it in the preview of the court. That's a problem. What you want You want it under the clerk, which is where any public document gets filed, like a deed or a declaration or whatever. That's where you want it, and with no cover page, right?
Now, those go to the recorder's office, though, in our state. That what you're talking
about? Well, in our state, the county clerk is the county recorder. It's the same.
Oh, see, they're not in ours.
Yeah, no. When you go in the clerk's office and you want something filed, that basically is the recorder's office. That's where the deeds get filed, and they'll file them under miscellaneous, really. It's a miscellaneous filing because they don't know where to put it, you know what I mean? But, it's not a deed, and it's not a, you know, it is, I think when we filed our declaration, they filed it.
We got LIBOR numbers for that under miscellaneous, yeah.
Right. Well, that anything in the recorder's office is a LIBOR number. Even a deed gets a LIBOR number. That's how you find it.
Right, but there are other filings that you don't get a LIBOR number with. It goes with the general filings and is filed in our case also, again, under miscellaneous.
So what's Ohio going to do? Because we have a recorder in with the the recorder's in with the treasurer, the auditor, they're all in that same building. The clerk of courts that are elected is over in the courthouse.
Well, where do your documents get filed, those miscellaneous documents? Now, the recorder might just be strictly for tax-type stuff, you know what I mean?
Well, you can file liens with the recorder. You can file all kinds of things with the recorder.
I would say it probably has to go to the recorder, but you know what? That's still the clerk's job. The clerk is supposed to know where to send paperwork to be filed. You drop things off to the county clerk, and the county clerk, even court papers can go into the county clerk, and they send it up to the court. The clerk really is the clearinghouse. to send it to the right department to be filed.
Yeah, but they have a records room. Like I know in our county, they have, well, all counties, they have a records room. Yeah, the filing may go to the court, it may go here, it may go there. But they have a live file which stays up in the clerk's area. And then they have, after it's done with the courts, and then it gets filed down in the records room. So, but I think everything, you know, when you do a library, you file a title, everything goes to the records room.
Right, but what I'm saying is sending it to the county clerk is not a mistake, I don't think.
Absolutely not, no.
The county clerk would send it back to the, should
they
send
will,
it
they will put
to
it
the recorder.
The place, right.
That's what I'm, that's my point, that the county clerk is supposed to know where those papers go.
Right.
But we do not want any case number on them at all.
Absolutely
no,
not.
Nothing
this
to
is,
do with the court. No.
This is
not
a declaration for our memorials.
I know they're going to want to try to stick an IR number on
of
it.
Of course that's they are. And we put it right on the top of the thing that there is no number. There is nothing to be filed with. There is no cover sheet. This is not a statutory filing. And it's to be filed with miscellaneous and let all men be known.
You know something, John? It just dawned on me, when the cases get really, when years go by, and they have to clear out some of the hard copy paperwork caseload, they just went through this, they'll get all the old cases, bag them up, and they actually did send them to the recorder's office, and what they did was they put them all on microfiche. They scanned them all, put them all on microfiche. So you're right. The clerks do send that stuff over when it gets so old, and that's where it's stored for long term.
Yeah, the clerk is supposed to know where the papers go when they come in, because some of the stuff does have to go to the court. There's certain things we do with the court that we go into the clerk. I mean, we get when we file a number for the court, when we have a case going, and we want a docket number, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
We get that from the clerk's office. I mean, it goes into the clerk's office, it goes up to the court, right, John?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's in her file. She keeps it in her file. She's the keeper of the records.
Right. In other words, if I want to go look up a court case, I don't go to the courthouse. I go to the county clerk, and I sit down on the computer, and I put the number in, and it comes up. And then it gets printed on her thing, and she charges me 25 cents a sheet,
right,
or whatever it is.
Right.
So the clerk is really supposed to take care of that.
All right, let's move on. Anything else?
Wait, I have something I want to just announce here that was in the text chat that I think is pretty
important. Okay, well, are you finished, Rosanna?
Yeah, that's fine. I just want to clear all that up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead,
David. David Robinson says, I have received the first 100 grand jury pocketbooks printed in black and white, 3.375 by 7 inches that can be reproduced in 100 minimum quantity orders for $250 each. Delivery, each booklet is 32 pages with the
$2.50 each.
That's for 100, though. I'm sure you know as you go more.
But 100. That's a lot of money, though. But
right.
Go ahead.
And then, so each booklet is 32 pages with front and back. Delivery can probably be covered for 25 cents each, depending upon how it's the project develops.
You know, we're going to get it cheaper than that. I know that they have the Constitution we get for, 40 cents a piece or something?
Right.
And we're not going to be any bigger or any more pages than what they got. So it's a matter of we got to just find the right place. And like I said, I don't know why these people aren't getting back to
me. Somebody put the name of a printer publisher in here from Pennsylvania. I'll have to get that to you. I see.
Yeah,
that.
Cut and paste that kind of information, and I'll look into that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it. Go ahead.
Okay. Next on the list is Daryl. Let me find Daryl. I know he's up towards the top here. Okay. Daryl Walton, go right ahead.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you, Daryl.
Hello, everybody. I've got a few questions. The first one I'd like to start with is for you, John. Did you get the Missouri Constitution that I sent to you?
I do have the Missouri Constitution, and we'll be posting them soon.
Okay, great.
We got a few of them. We got Ohio, Missouri, I think Montana, maybe Wyoming, and a few others maybe. So any other states out there that can send me a Constitution PDF form, find it and send it to me. I'd appreciate it. Also, again, anybody that wants to be a state coordinator or a state leader, just send me your name and your county and your state, and we'll put you up on the board. And it'll be your job to coordinate the state, make sure it happens in every county, make sure everybody's talking to each other. You know, you're bringing people together. That's what you're doing. You're organizing the state. And I'll put down a more detailed thing on this. There's going to, when we get the new site up, and we are working on a new site that's going to be very integrated and pull together things like the meetup. We have meetup site and we have our regular site. When the new site gets up, we'll be able to leave meetup and everything will be on one site. And the state coordinators will be have some authority on that website because they'll be, I forget what they call it, administrators on the site. And again, their key thing is organizing and keeping people together and getting things going and happening and so on and maintaining order at the same time. You know, you get, especially when we get on the website, we're going to have chat rooms and it'll be up to the state coordinators to, make sure that there's nothing inappropriate going on. And, you know, you guys all work together. We'll figure that out as we go. And if we need more administrators, we'll do that. I think we're going to try to do a chat room for each state, but maybe that's not wise. Maybe we should just do one big chat room nationally. That might be the way to go. If that gets too busy at some point, then maybe we'll divide it into 50 and then also maintain a national at the same time, but we'll have to figure that out as we go. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Well, the other thing I was wondering is, it's talking about the jurors taking the oath, mm-hmm. and I was wondering, shouldn't they see that 30-minute video about what a juror's duties are before they take the oath?
Well, absolutely. That's why we're going to do an orientation. We tell everyone that comes up, that signs up, they need to go through that orientation, jurist orientation, and that's the page they land on once they sign up and, you know, once they register. When we bring people in, when we call people up to come in to be jurist, they're going to have a 4-hour orientation. We're going to create a program and, you know, we'll probably put an hour video together or something like that, maybe 2 hours of video. And then we'll create 2 hours of ideas and thoughts of conversations and what to focus in on. And that's what part of the job of the administrators. There are 4 administrators for every county. And that means potentially you could break up into 4 grand juries if it's necessary. You got one, each administrator can take on a grand jury and be a foreman, one for each. But you'll also discover that there'll be a lot of people who will volunteer a lot more time. Maybe you won't be able to be full time, but they'll be able to volunteer time and they'll want to sit in on a lot of stuff and they'll be perfectly capable of being a foreman also, under certain, you know, when the time comes, you may say, hey, why don't you be foreman this time? You see, because we want to mix that bag up. We don't want the same person to be foreman all the time because they would have the right to be able to say foul. So we want to be careful that doesn't happen. Also, if a grand jury gets that busy or they need some special knowledged individuals and they can reach out to counties around them and pull people from anywhere, you know, they can ask other people in other counties, can you come in and help us with this because you've got an expertise in this and we can really use your help. And, of course, they should oblige them. And again, that's what this whole thing is about. The whole state has got to work together. If you got 50 counties, you need 200 administrators working those 50 counties. That's 4 people per county. And those 200 administrators should know each other. Over a period of time, you should have everybody, you should have each other's phone numbers. You should know the expertise of certain individuals. For instance, someone who maybe has a background in common law, understands procedures better than the other person as far as the court procedures are concerned. Maybe someone's a good writer. You know, whatever their expertise is, you know, you guys should kind of create some kind of a log or something that can give you that information and you can say, hey, let's call Joe or let's call Mary or let's call Sue or Fred. You know, because they can help us with this. And again, until you develop that, you know, we here in New York, we've got some experience, and we're willing to help you with the letter writing and anything. And we also have other people that are going to work with us. When we really get organized, there's going to be some other people that we'll be interviewing. They'll be giving us a lot of insight on how the fiction works. You know, remember, the UCC is still in place, which is Universal Commercial Code. That lies in on international law. Okay, and that will still be, you know, in force when it comes to things that are on that level. But they certainly should not be using the UCC stuff or the statutory law in a common law proceeding. That's a crime. But and that's what we're here to fix.
Okay. Another thing is, have you thought about the idea of possibly having one page on the website that has all the updates to the documents and everything else, where you can either update them individually or click one button and do a full update of everything?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand what you mean. You mean the documents?
Like right now, if you look at the homepage, the juris documents. It shows the juris oath was changed on 9/22.
Okay.
Okay. If you had also I call them like under site contact or something like that, where it says revised downloads, and go to that web page, and that juris oath would be there with the
Right. Well, maybe we can get that more sophisticated when we have more people working with this. You know, right now, this particular website, this still is my job. This is what I do. And believe me, you know, it's hard to get the you know, I got to keep everything updated. The new website we're working on, we have two guys that are working on it that have, you know, this is what they do. And they're creating, you know, a really nice site for us that'll become, a lot of it will be automated. And I'll continue to participate in posting things up and being part of or trying to organize it. But there'll be other people doing a lot of things. And this kind of thing that you're talking about, we can probably set it up when something is posted up there that it automatically is tagged somehow. And then what you're talking about will happen. And then you'll be able to maybe do a search on a certain date, any new document since this date, and it'll pop up. Hopefully, we'll be integrated enough to be able to do that. I don't see why we can't. I believe we can with we're using Drupal, and I understand that's a pretty sophisticated program for site building. So hopefully, we'll be able to get that. But right now, it's I'm just going to post the date when I post it. If I change that jurist oath, it'll have a different date on it. So. Whenever you download something, you might want to just tag a little tag on it, you know, just click it and rename it. Leave the name the same, but then put the date, 9/22, whatever. And we'll all do the best we can, you know.
I understand that. The other comment, or the last thing is a comment. You were saying something earlier in the show about a judge's phone number. Taking you to the FBI phones, and comment about not having the judge's phone number. I don't know.
Well, we don't know whether that person was a judge or not, though. We do know that he was connected to the.
He was not a judge.
Someone working for the court.
He's in the legal department of the court or something like that.
He didn't want to identify himself, it seems, from listening to what Harold said.
Yeah, but he was definitely not a judge, and he said that he made the complaint. He said, blame it on me. Now, this thing went down from the judge to some kind of administrator down to him, and he claims that he called the FBI. Now, his number comes up as the FBI, and the FBI must have went with that, because why would they be allowing him to give their main switchboard number as his number?
We will get to the bottom of this.
Do they really think that we're violent and we're going to go beat him up or something? I mean, come on. This guy is a public official. He's not a judge. And even judges, you know, you go on to the internet and look up your judges, they give their name, they give their county. I mean, they're accessible, the judges, believe it or not. They are public officials. And, I mean, I would see, think that a judge has more to hide than some guy working in the court system, you know what I mean? This guy should have his, at least, I don't want his home phone, but at least the number of where he operates and the capacity in the office of the people. He's working for the people, and we are the people, and we should be able to call this guy in his official capacity. And for him to give the FBI number to their main, and I think this is a national switchboard, by the way, from what I heard, you have reached the office of the FBI, blah, blah, blah. That's unconscionable. That's really sneaky.
Yes, it is.
And that's not right. We're going to get to the bottom of that because, you know, they're over here making accusations. And, I mean, he said, I made the complaint. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, what's the complaint? I want to hear. Yeah, I want to see the complaint.
And listen, the paper went from the judge to some top administrator down to him. I guarantee you that before he called the FBI, the judge knew he was calling. Listen, they're all pulled on the carpet. I don't care. You know, let them point fingers at each other. I don't think that he went and did anything by himself. You know, this is an intimidation tactic. I don't care. Somebody's going to have to pay. Listen, he made a false report as far as I think we're concerned. I don't want to discuss that online right now because these things need to be done in secret. This is a public thing. Maybe we've already said too much, but we're just trying to get you the idea.
Right. Well, we're doing. This is important for us as a group to do this, and maybe next time we won't use their names. You know, these are all jurists that are in this room right now. At least most of them are. Anybody who hasn't signed up for the registry shouldn't be in here, really. Well, I guess they can be, but you know, we're hoping that this is your intention to sign up and become part of what we're doing. You know, to help save our republic. So.
Right.
So well, what I was going to say about that judge's call number, or the individual, I should say, was that if he works for the state, and my understanding, Missouri is not the only state that does this. I think it's required by all the states that all state employees have their office number. Not their home number, but their office number listed on the web page.
Yeah, well, I used to be an elected official, and they put my home number. They put everything out there. You know what I mean? I you couldn't hide for nothing. But you're right. As a public official, they need to be accessible. Otherwise, they're not a public official then. What are they?
Well, what's strange, this guy Rob is working for the courts. He must be working for the federal courts if he's stuck in there with the federal agents.
Well, I want to know why his number is the same as the FBI number.
Right. Right.
So,
all right, well, we'll work that one out. Anything else, Daryl?
No, that's all I had for tonight. And I'm just glad that you guys are covering these stories. So I have an idea of what might be ahead.
Yeah, right. We don't want people to be intimidated.
Yeah, listen. These are paper tigers. They have nothing. We are doing this so focused in on the law. We got Scalia. We got procedure. We got all of the necessary paperwork. Everything is right the way it needs to be done. They have nothing. That's why they're walking on eggshells. You can tell by reading the letter that we get from these people. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. If you heard the conversation last week with an individual, which was at the county, the court clerk for Nassau County, you know, they even said, well, you may be right, you know. They said that. They don't know. And
well,
we got to judge.
That guy knew we were right. He just didn't want to go there. You may be right. Well, listen, when there's a conflict in law, when the statute doesn't agree with the Constitution or the Supreme Court ruling, guess what? The Constitution i.e. the Supreme Court ruling stands and the statute goes down.
That's right.
So when a state has a code saying that such and such and such, when that code is in direct conflict with something that's in the Constitution or it's something that the Supreme Court has ruled on, that code falls away.
Right.
And so he knows that they cannot argue against U.S. versus William. He knows. He read the thing. He was just, again, they're playing dumb. You know, right. they're trying to dissuade us and to distract us.
Absolutely.
Like they're worried that we're going to take their power away, which that's what
we're
going to do.
Well, they should be worried, yeah, because we are.
Listen, like I said, they tell us, oh, what are you worried about the government watching you if you're not doing anything wrong? Well, guess what? What are you worried about the people watching you if you're not doing anything wrong?
That's right. There you go.
That shoe fits both ways now, doesn't it? And
yes,
actually, the people have more authority than the state does. They don't have really the authority to watch us. We're supposed to be watching them. I think they all should wear ankle bracelets with GPSs on.
Yeah, we should know where they
are.
I agree.
You know?
Anything else, Darryl?
I'm almost really serious about that.
Well, I am.
Well, along that line, I think that any time that they have a meeting, especially if it involves a special interest group, it should be recorded and documented and put out for public notice.
Remember what Kennedy said? We don't have any room for secret societies in America, and they do a lot of stuff in secret. This we're supposed to be an open society.
All right, we got other people with hands up. Anything else, Darryl?
Jesse?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Jesse's hand's been up for many minutes, but also Veronica Port, way back at 9:40, asked.
Well, Jeff has been up longer than is Jeff. Where's Jeff at? Did he leave?
No, Jesse's hand's been up.
Yeah, but Jeff was up before. I wrote notes on who was next.
Oh, Jeff is.
But I don't see Jeff anymore. Yeah, Jeff's gone.
Yeah, well,
I wanted to talk with Jeff too. We were trying to get him earlier this week. But, okay.
While you're fumbling around, John, I wanted to ask you, have you had the handbook professionally edited?
Well, I haven't had it. I did get someone who gave me some info and some corrections on it, and I haven't been through that yet. But why, you want to look at it?
Well, I thought John might come in handy. Really, if you're going to spend some money, some serious money on this, I would love John, if he's a great writer, as he said, have him look at it.
Oh, you're talking about, that wasn't John. Who was that? That was Joe? Well, let me think. Let me go back and look. Right, I remember. Joe Kelly, no. Yeah, wasn't that Joe Kelly? Who was that?
It started with J.
Yeah, pretty sure it was Joe Kelly. Was that you, Joe Kelly? Raise your hand if it was you, Joe. Well, he's going to call me later in the week, so I'll talk with him about it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? I have to go through there. Remember, you know, a lot of this stuff is quotes, and 90% of it is quotes and Supreme Court rulings. And sometimes you get, strange spelling from the old English, and sometimes there's errors that in there. You correct the word, I guess, but we have to be careful, you know, on how we correct those things.
All right. Yeah, I guess just tying it together then. It's been a while. I remember. I thought.
Yeah, I started reading it today, and I just never been able to get any headway with it because too many calls and too many things going on. My day is just so full all the time. And but tomorrow morning I want to get up and try to read through it again, and I want to search out. Someone had sent me a list of things that I need to look at for it, and I need to do that to get the final conclusion on that.
Hey, what happened to that sovereign Anthony guy calling this afternoon? I don't see him online.
I don't remember. Which one is that?
When he kept asking questions right after the Harold incident today and about sovereign citizens. And
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he's here. We'll see if he's here. Maybe he'll raise his hand and talk. All right, let me move on. Well, Joe, let me just get Joe for a minute. Was that you, Joe?
Yeah, I've actually got a book, and I could send you the book when it gets printed, but it's my first book. But I've been writing for so long that I'm actually pretty good at it. So
Joe, send me your phone number, please, and let's talk during the week, man. But send me your phone number. Are you hooked? Are you listed on the registry?
No, but I can do that. I can do that because I'm past the problem with the oath thing.
Okay.
As long as, and that's what was my thing tonight, as long as there is an object, and the object in my case will be the Declaration of Independence.
Well, I want to talk to you about that.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about that because I want to understand what you're talking. I mean, I want to understand what you're talking about better, and you seem to know more than I do in that particular area. So, and I appreciate pointing out that really gave us a little bit of an insight. Wait a second, we're not supposed to be taking. The people don't take constitutional oaths. We're not in that kind of an office. We're there to make sure that they obey the Constitution, that they keep their oaths. That's what we're there for.
Right.
Yeah, it's a matter of hierarchy. I mean, the Constitution is, if anything, like the slavery thing or like the piracy thing or like, you know, on and on and on, in my case, because I know it, if anything's repugnant to rule of law, God's law, if that's what you, or natural law, whatever, you don't have to even believe in God. It's natural. It's obvious. It's obvious.
Right.
You do something to somebody else that injures them. Is that something you want done to you? And, you know, you have to lie to say, no, it isn't, or yes, it is. I want them to beat me to smithereens. You know, I want them to burn me alive. It's just repugnant.
Right.
So if the Constitution is repugnant, then I'm not signing. I cannot sign an oath to that. There's no way.
Well, that's okay, because we solved the problem. We went to the higher realm.
But what you wrote up, I couldn't write it better. It, you know, maybe, you know, there's a better thing that you can write in there.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Let's take that into a private conversation, and you can educate me some more in this, and we'll discuss that, and we'll take it from there. And
go
sign up.
Phone number?
Yeah, email me. If you sign up, I'll get you off the. Just email me your phone number. Yeah, just say, hey, this is Joe offline, you know, from the last night. And,
sounds great.
Yeah. And I want to, and I'll get your email that way. I will send you a copy of the Juris book, and then we can talk about that too.
Okay, John, I was off the phone with just a smidgen because I had to drain the spaghetti.
Oh, okay. Well, you had spaghetti tonight, too, huh?
Can I have some?
Oh, it's the red sauce, the duck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cut it out.
You got the nice spicy meatballs and everything, or what?
I got onions, a lot of garlic, I got bell peppers, and meatballs.
Okay, all right, we got to move on, Joe. We'll talk to you later, okay? All right, let's go to Jesse.
Jesse's hand's been up. Veronica, we're going to get to your question, so don't leave. After Jesse's done, I'll read it to John.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
If I complain, no one listens, so I'm doing great.
I understand where you're coming from there. I got a question. How am I supposed to report back to you on the number of counties? Should I just call you?
Give me a call. Just give me a call, or you can send me an email, you know, but give me a call, either one. It doesn't matter.
Okay. I did send an email, but I noticed that we're still at zero.
Yeah, I must have missed it somehow. Maybe you better call.
So I'll call you. But we have.
Well, calling is good, you know. I mean, look, I take a lot of calls, but the 50 people from the 50 states, we need to all be talking. You know, one person from every state needs to be talking.
I didn't want to take up any of your time if I didn't have to. If there was some way I could post it, then, you know, you could see it. But we do have one, two, three, four counties already that have their election, and three that are scheduled to have it in PA. So.
Okay.
Just want to, you know, let you know.
All right. What I think we'll be doing is, if they're actually on schedule, why don't we count them as if elected, because they're elected or being elected. They're there. You may not file them. Filing is another story, and you'll file them when you feel comfortable to file, when you feel you have enough to file. You know?
And here's just something I wanted to share with everybody, because I was helping some people in New York to try to get their election, reinstatement election scheduled, and I contacted the libraries in York County, Pennsylvania, and I talked to this one, the lady, and she sent me their application, and I told them, well, I'm going to have a meeting that's going to be open to the public. Now, this is a public library. Now, the application that she sent me, and she told me this over the phone, and I couldn't believe it, but I read it, and it's right there in the application for the room. It says that you cannot have a meeting in their community room if it's open to the general public?
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. And what I'm starting to see is I watched the one video on the NLA site about the public-private partnerships, and I think that's what's happening to our libraries because they said there's a private board of directors or something.
Yeah, well, we're going to do away with all that. Yeah, they have incorporated everything, including our libraries, I'm sure. Yeah. And the people don't own it no more. And they have it to the people of the state, which is the citizen of the state, which really is a slave. So, I mean, look, it's really, we're going to get rid of all that.
They have public funds, tax funds that build that library. For them to tell you that you can't have a meeting that's open to the public, that is repugnant. We have a right to assemble publicly, and certainly we have a right to assemble in our public library.
Well, I don't think that they should allow the public into their library after all, you know?
Yeah.
It should be open to the public.
It should be a public library. It's a private library.
Yeah. That's like unbelievable. I'd get the room and have a public meeting and dare them to kick me out.
Well, I found a fire hall. Is a fire hall okay to use?
That's cool.
It's a meeting room.
Hey, look, if worst comes to worst, the back room of Denny's will do.
Denny's.
You know?
If we were to use the back room of Denny's, a fire hall should be all right, too.
I'm not even going to tell you some of the places we've been to down in the city to have our elections.
and churches are good, too. Don't forget about churches.
Yeah, there you go. Churches are very good.
A lot of churches have rooms that they use for events, you know?
Okay, well, that's another place that I'll look into because I would like to get the other counties around me going. Because I'll tell you, out in West Pennsylvania, there's a gal that's a county organizer that's helping a lot of counties around her get going. So, you know, out towards Erie, there's like, you know, a group of counties that are having their election or had their election. So that's everything that I had. I just wanted to bring that up about the PPPs, you know, public-private partnerships of our public libraries, and people are not allowed to have public elections.
Yeah, we're going to fix that. You know what? All those things are going to be fixed once we get in and do. Like I said, we take back our courts first. We save the republic, and then we start talking to these people that are running our libraries. What's going on here? We got a lot of things to talk about as time goes on. And again, there are so many things that we have to work on together as a people across the entire nation, not just within our own states. And that's why these national meetings are going to be so important, and they're going to become more important in the future. And again, every state will decide on their own what they're going to do. But at least we can share these ideas and to look at, there's a lot of problems with the municipalities and where this money is. They've got a lot of money in there. This belongs to the people. We need to get that back, you know?
One other quick thing, too. When I was posting before we changed, you know, how we go about making the meeting known, I was going through the municipality, you know, the different boroughs in Lancaster County. There was one borough that was having a sale of public land to a private owner ownership. There was 500 some plus acres of public land that they were selling or auctioning off to the highest bidder. And I have that recorded on my video. I recorded the flyer that they had in there.
Well, I think it's good that they sell the public the government land to the people. First of all, they shouldn't be owning any land that they don't need for building and their operations. You see, the trouble is a lot of these towns start amassing all kinds of we need a dump, and they get 500 acres. You don't need 500 acres for a dump. You see, the town shouldn't be owning land and private stuff unless it's using it. And sometimes land comes in and for whatever reason. But, you know, as far as them selling it, you know, that turns it back into the public sector. Of course, they could collect taxes on it once they sell it. But, you know, at least the town government's not controlling it anymore. Now it's into the private hands, you know. So if they're not using it for anything, they shouldn't be owning it. You know, I mean, that's... the federal government has taken over all these national parks, and a lot of the grabbing is because there's mineral rights under there, and what they're doing is they're locking it up, and that's sort of the collateral on our debt, on our monetary debt. They're using those national parks. They know that there's oil and coal and gas under those national parks. So I just have a real abhorrence for the government owning too much property. You know, and if I don't know, you know, if they put it out to a public.
Yeah, we have to question ourselves is where did they get it from in the first place?
Well, it comes from all different places.
You might have taken it from people.
Sometimes it could be taken from people. Sometimes you have like a railroad line that went through and then it went defunct and they give it back to the town. You know what I mean? And I mean, we had, when I was in the town council, we had some railroad that was given back. And they gave back the railroad right away to the towns, and they made a walkway on part of it. But the rest of it that we didn't use, we split it back up to all the adjoining landowners. Well, we had to ask them, because in other words, it makes their land bigger and they have to pay tax on it. So we went in, we said, listen, you guys got first dibs on this property if you want it. I mean, we didn't even charge them for it, basically. You know what I mean? It bordered their property. I don't know
how
the railroad
got it. Probably
from
them in the first place.
Well, the railroad probably took it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so what we did was we gave them the opportunity to have it annexed back onto their properties. You know, it was touching their property anyway. But I thought it was good because I don't think that, you know, a town should be owning land that they don't have public use for, you know what I mean?
All right, well, let's move on. Jesse, anything else?
That's everything.
Okay, thanks, Jess. Let's move on to Ellie, right?
I was going to say, Veronica asked a question here at 9:40 that nobody answered.
Okay, go ahead.
And you have answered this before. Just do it. I suppose you could do it quickly. It says, can John address the Washington State Constitution, Section 25, grand jury? No grand jury shall be drawn or summoned in any county except by the superior judge thereof shall so order.
Yeah, we don't have a problem with that.
We've discussed this. Well, people don't understand. I mean, we got a different interpretation of that. So go ahead and just give that quick thing.
Right, yeah. You know, someone in the government has to call for the grand jury when they think they have a case. In New York State, it's usually as a matter of fact, we know now it is for sure. It's usually the prosecutor. They call the grand jury. Until they call the grand jury isn't called. But that doesn't mean the grand jury isn't doing grand jury things. It doesn't mean that they're not calling themselves. It doesn't mean that they're not investigating, and it doesn't mean that they're not coming together to do a presentment. Certainly they can't stop them from doing that. But all they're doing is just giving in there who it is that called the grand jury, whether it's the judge,
but it does say no grand jury shall be drawn or summoned. In
right.
any county.
By the court or by the prosecutor.
Except by the superior judge. So
yeah, well,
the
grand jury doesn't call itself. It just comes up to do its business, so we can ignore that. And if they think it means that, it's not clear that it means that, number one. But number two, it would be repugnant to the Fifth Amendment, and it would be repugnant to natural law. Forget about it. You can't have it. It's null and void.
And like I said, when there's a conflict between a state law or a code or anything like that.
And a right.
And that it reverts to the Supreme Court ruling or the Constitution.
But I think.
That will not hold up.
Well, I think, what that is saying is that the court has to draw or call the drawer is the problem there. That's a problem because they're not going to draw the grand jury. That's going to be done by the administrators. The people are going to take that job away from them.
They say drawn or summoned, right?
Yeah, that could never, ever, ever happen. The government can't draw the grand jury because we see what's happened with them doing that. They're lawbreakers, and there's no way they're going to draw or call a grand jury against themselves. And by drawing it, they're also going to fix the whole case. They're getting the people to do their will, and that's why they're very careful on who they call. So.
Yeah, because most of the states say that there's a questionnaire for them, and it's done by the grand jury administrator. Well, you know, talking about the fox watching the hen house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've got a copy of a grand jury questionnaire. Oh my goodness, what they ask on who are these people? We should post that. I have to go look that up. I'm sure we have it in the file. We should post that. And people will see how seriously defunct these people are. So, alright, who's next? You had mentioned, who was next?
Marilyn is 15 minutes.
Okay, yeah, but we had someone else, we got called away.
Stephanie's been up for 33 minutes.
I don't see Steph. Oh, she must be down the bottom there.
Yeah,
okay, Stephanie, then Marilyn. Stephanie, you got the mic. Stephanie.
Her hand fell asleep, and so did she.
Okay. Stephanie, can you hear me?
Maybe she stepped away.
Okay. Well, we'll try Stephanie back in a minute. Let me put a mic... put a hand back up. I should be able to put a hand up for her, right?
I don't know.
I guess not. I can't. Okay. Marilyn, good to see you. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
I was just looking in the jurist handbook, and it says where you say clearly the government cannot be in charge of deciding for themselves whether or not they should indict themselves. You have indicted themselves.
Okay.
That's the fourth sentence in the book.
Fourth sentence in the book. Okay.
Okay.
And that's page one then.
That's page one.
Fourth sentence.
Yep. Sentence four.
Sentence four. Don't send it to the printer yet.
Indict.
Yeah. It should be indict, not indicted.
Not AD. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Anything else? That's it?
Nope.
Okay. You're heading down to New York, on Friday?
I want to talk to Kathy about that, if she's going down.
Okay, yeah, well, Tony's going down, so they're taking a car. There's a couple of people, I don't know, maybe Frank. There's a couple of people going down with Tony, and they're supposed to give you a call.
I was supposed to go to an anniversary party Friday night, but this is far more important.
Right.
So, yes,
this is a very important meeting because it's going to be a lot of counties in the same place at the same time, and we're going to start talking about some strategies, and we're going to strengthen each other up a bit, and we're going to let each other know that we're all going to be there for each other, and we're going to do this thing.
I know we will.
So.
Okay, thank you.
All right, talk to you later.
Peace.
And I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, and I'll email you. I did get the phone number set up with.
Hey, that library we use down your way, is that an easy one to get?
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's got a ton of rooms there.
That's where we're thinking of doing our investigation with the FBI. We're going to pull them in under the
property. They've got small rooms for.
Yeah,
you know,
we don't need a big one. Yeah, we don't need. Well, I don't know, because I was thinking of mustering together 25 people to sit in there and listen to them talk to this FBI guys.
Even the small room will take 20, 25 people.
Yeah, we just got to figure out the numbers, how many people.
Yeah, I'll call them and see what's available.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, check in on that because we're going to try to set something up for that. So.
Okay.
Okay. Who's next, Ron?
Stephanie Franzen came back, so...
Stephanie's back. Stephanie, what'd you do? Go get lunch on us? Maybe Stephanie doesn't have...
Not working.
We are not hearing you, Stephanie, if you talk. There's two Stephanies.
Yeah, there's two, but Stephanie Franzen was first, and we took her hand down and she put it back up, so I assumed she was there.
Uh-huh.
Stephanie does have a question in the question pane. What'd she say? What do you make of the article posted on the Beaver PA election? I have no idea what that means. That was a while ago.
Yeah, Stephanie, can you hear us? If we're not hearing you, if you're talking, maybe type something in and we'll get you in the type. Meanwhile, I'll leave you unmuted if you can get your mic on. The other Stephanie Strong. Go right ahead.
It's me.
How you doing?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, I wasn't talking to you, and you couldn't hear me before there. Okay, thank you.
Which Stephanie is this?
This is Stephanie Strong.
Okay. Yeah, we were trying to get Stephanie Franson.
Oh.
But Stephanie Franson isn't responding, so we went to you, Stephanie Strong.
Okay, I guess I didn't have my microphone plugged in, so that was my problem there.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, what I posted on the website is I am in a lawsuit. I had sued the Secretary of State for letting a legislator be on the ballot, and he notarized his own signatures. And that was back, started in June last year. And then the Pennington County Republican Party and Brian Gosch, who notarized his own signature, sued me for $21,000. They did an intervention. So I am in the appellate court.
Wait, I'm not sure I got that. Start all over again. You sued them?
I sued them.
And then they countersued you?
And they countersued me.
Now, you sued who?
I'm sorry. Please. What did you say?
You sued who?
I sued the Secretary of State of South Dakota.
Okay, so you sued the individual, not the office.
I sued the Secretary of State of South Dakota, Jason Gant, in his capacity as Secretary of State.
Okay, so in his official capacity. And who sued you back?
Okay, then the Pennington County Republican Party and Brian Gosch, who notarized his own signatures on his petition, sued me. Well, they did an intervention.
Okay, and they sued you for what, and you sued them for what?
Okay, so they sued me, saying that my lawsuit was frivolous and malicious. And the judge on December 28th, Judge Trandall, after Brian Gosch had been seated
What state, what county?
South Dakota, Pennington County.
Okay. Good.
So they had Judge Trandall in district court had a hearing, said that my case didn't have any merits. It was too late. So that was December 28th. Then March 22nd, there's a hearing, and I appeal December 28th's court case to the appellate court. And I say, I am appealing your decision on this December 28th hearing. And in the meantime, Pennington County Republican Party, Brian Gosch, who is the one that notarized his own signatures for State House representative, sued me for a hearing March 22nd. But when you appeal, then you have a stay, and you just wait for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but you may appeal too late. Did you appeal within the 30-day period? Because
I did.
Okay, all right. So you served notice within the 30 days, and then you have 90 days to perfect your case. At least that's what it is in New York. It may be different than your state, but go ahead. So, okay, yes. Yeah. So once you have something pending, now they went and made another decision?
Well, March 22nd, came and I think it came from that's what I wanted to tell you because I'm pretty excited about this is March 21st came and I had a hearing set for March 22nd for attorney fees for a frivolous and malicious lawsuit of going after not the Secretary of State, but Brian Gosch and the Pennington County Republican Party for bringing this lawsuit for Brian Gosch notarizing his own petitions, which you can't do that here in South Dakota. It's against the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one could notarize their own paper.
Yeah. So the Judge Trandall, who had that case, said, okay, I do not have jurisdiction. March 21st, I filed a notice of appeal March 20th, and then I actually sent a motion to dismiss that I'll have to tell you about that, but motion to dismiss at that same time and said, hey, I have my appeal going, so you don't have jurisdiction. The Judge Trandall, she emails back. She says, no, I don't have jurisdiction. It's off the docket. Pennington County Republican Party and Brian Gosch have the hearing anyway, March 22nd, said the judge changed her mind, found me guilty on all charges of frivolous and malicious lawsuit March 22nd. So then I answered a brief that said you didn't have jurisdiction. It was in the appellate court. And at the same time, I did a motion to dismiss because of jurisdiction. Basically, there was a law that they passed in South Dakota that said that you can't notarize your own signatures in the legislature that year, just to clarify the law that was already on the docket.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole jurisdiction thing comes back, and that's where I've been finding, and that's what I wrote about that, is because I'm trying to, and that's why I put it on the website, is when people are afraid to bring up common law and where you have your rights, right in South Dakotified law, it has in there where they have common law in there. It's not in our Bill of Rights. It said common law doesn't apply. But in the South Dakotified law, it does apply. So we'll see. I have to do my brief.
Well, you see, in all of the United States, common law is the law of the land, period. There's nobody to do anything about that. But they do play their games, and you do have to fight them. It's an uphill battle, and it sounds like fraud. And you shouldn't be surprised, because the judges staying in office, it depends upon him ruling for the party at all times. They always do. And the only time they may rule one way or the other is one party fighting another party. But other than that, generally speaking, you go in and fight after these people, or the judges are status quo and all this stuff, because it's their power. They may even be a Democrat, but they won't go against the Republican Party. They may be a Republican, but they're not going to go against the Democratic Party, especially from an individual's, you know, you're chasing them, they're going to go against you, because they're criminals.
Right.
You know?
So you just, what do you do then?
Sue them all.
Sue them all.
Yeah, there sue them all individually, and then you object when they use the, you sue them as people, you don't sue them in their capacity. Never sue an individual in their capacity, because you're suing them because they've done something wrong. They stepped outside of their authority, so you're suing them on what's called under color of law. And then you can complain to the judge and everyone else, say, wait a second, whoa, the state can't represent these, can't pay for the representation of these people because you're suing them as individuals. Why am I paying for their defense? And the other thing is if they did use state money, why are you paying for their defense anyway? You know, and all these people, they have all these lawyers, and we're paying for them to screw us over in court, period.
That's right.
We're going to change all that, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. So, what else?
Okay, well, that was all I wanted to point out there. Well, because we've been listening to the common law, and
right,
and so we were going to have that defense and change to a people and change the court scenario so that it's common law, based on common law. So we're going to give it a whirl here.
Mm-hmm. All right, sounds good. You know, just keep studying this stuff, and eventually, when we do get in control very soon, it's all going to be under common law.
So. Well, and then we're contacting all the 912ers and all the tea parties in this area to get the 25 people. So,
but remember, you only need one person per county. You're working towards four, but one, you start off with one and eventually it becomes two and eventually three, and you're looking for four. Four hired help, four hired people, which is the administrators of the common law grand jury in your county. And they will do all the administrative work. They'll do the orientation for all the people that are called and so on and so forth. The rest is the jury pools that you're building. And we'll always be able to go straight to the people and draw out of the people. So.
Well, very good.
All right, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right, let's try Stephanie again. Stephanie Franzen, yeah, are you there? Stephanie Franzen. Hello, Stephanie.
Stephanie put a link up to an article that was in the paper about a grand jury being formed and in Pennsylvania, and it quotes us. It quotes the National Liberty Alliance. I threw it into the text chat for you, John. I don't know if you can read that small writing, but I do have it. If you copy and paste that URL that's in the text chat there, you could get it.
Okay. We'll look at that later then.
Yeah, and I mean, the articles like this, anybody that's good knows common law, you know, somebody should write comments in, because this article was written by a reporter obviously working for them and trying to discredit this process, saying that there is no legal authority, and if they do this, they're going to, you know, we're going after them and blah, blah, blah. It's all psyops. It's all baloney, mm-hmm. You know. And they say, well, if it was formed, it would have no powers and blah, 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 blah. Somebody or a few people should answer this, you know, with some good answers.
Just send the press the release.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. Let Anton Scalia answer them.
Well, they do say that we use Scalia, and the guy says, oh, they're just taking stuff out of there out of context. It wasn't ever meant to be like that, and it has to be controlled, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's all a bunch of baloney. It can't be. How can it be controlled? It's not to be controlled by the courts, obviously. See, they don't want anything that rains on
their
parade.
How do you handle the press when they show up at the elections? Well, you can answer the questions generically. There's no big thing there. And, you know, the best thing to do is to give them a copy of the second press release, which is up on the document, jury's document page. You should have them with you also. You should always have a half a dozen of them with you, and you can give them to anybody. And that lays it all out. They should probably go quiz Antonio Scalia, you know. But you don't want to get too involved in details, especially personal stuff. Remember, you know, it's not for us to give the names of people and identify anything. They ask basic questions. You can give simple, basic answers. Why not? You know? Okay. Let's go. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on Stephanie Franzen. I mean, I'll leave the mic open. Maybe she'll plug her mic in or something, get it going. Who's next? Let's see. 20 minutes on Donald, 13, 5. Okay, I guess Donald Boxley. Go right ahead. You got the mic, Don.
Good evening, everyone. This is Donald in Alabama, state coordinator.
How you doing, Don?
Doing good, thank you. My birthday's tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
I'll be 50.
You're not asking me to send you anything, are you?
No, just do as you wish. A few words of advice for people that are fixing to do their presentation for election. I suggest you take some copies of your public notice to your county courthouse and hand it over to the secretary with little pasty notes on them, asking them to put it on their billboards in their respective districts. They're your public servants. She has
We were doing that in the beginning, and we ran into nothing but problems and assault. We've even been shut down here in New York in one place. They raided us, and so we just stopped putting on their bulletin boards. It was just too much of a problem. So we're kind of suggesting to people, we're still being honorable by going into the newspapers and spreading the word the best we can in other ways, but going into their bulletin boards has proven to be a problem for us. They even tried getting information to go down, try to shut other counties down, we think. But anyway, we just stopped.
Well, yeah, I look at them as public servants. I hand it to their secretary, and I, with honor, ask them to just give this information to each district and have them put it up on their public bulletin board, put it in their shelf, little pasty note on my public notice, here's a copy for each of them, saves me a trip to travel to each district, and ask them to politely put it in their little docket so that they can put it on their public board themselves when they get a chance. I also suggest you put up a Facebook page for your county, common law grand jury of your county. Make your own little Facebook page. That helps people get in contact with you that use Facebook. It also is a good spot to post when you're going to have an election in your county. Don't try to give them a public notice to a newspaper, of course, because they charge for that. But if you give them a press release, they're supposed to put it up for free because it's a public service.
Right. Yeah, we make that point also. You have to be – in the beginning, we did use the word public notice, and we changed that to press release. So. All right, anything else, Don?
September 28th, we have an election coming up in Blount County, and Limestone County here in Alabama's got an election coming up pretty soon. They're going to give me a date and time and stuff. And once I get these public notices copied, I'll send them to you with the dates and times.
Yeah, get me the information. We need the date, the time, the location, the county, and a contact individual, and we'll post it up on the meetup, the national meetup.
I'll get that to you as soon as I get it.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, God bless.
All right, you too. Thanks, Don. Okay, let's see who's next. We have... let's see, Daryl, I think. Hang on a minute. Go ahead, Daryl. Daryl Walton.
Hello. Sorry to bother you again. Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Daryl.
Can you hear me, John?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was looking through the documents, and on the register as an organizer, that document, on the web page where it's the form on how to get started.
Okay, that's on jurist orientation. And then you go to the bottom, that one there where it says how to start a grand jury in your county.
How to form a grand jury in your county under a jurist documents.
Oh, under jurist documents.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me go into that. I'm on the wrong page then. Jurist documents. Okay, how to form a grand jury in your county. Let me open that up. Okay, yep.
Okay, if you will go to step two.
Okay.
If you'll look at the bottom part of that sentence after witness. Did you really want weather?
Yeah, well, I thought it might rain that day.
I thought so.
Yeah. All right, I'll try to get in there to fix that.
Okay, it just caught me off guard, and then I started thinking about how I make similar mistakes all the time, and now I feel much better.
Yeah, well, hey, I make everyone feel better with that, with those things, so...
I'm impressed with how few errors I have found, especially when it comes to...
I have a lot of critics.
Well, I guess we all have to keep everybody on their toes, right?
thank God for, you know, the, what do you call it? Oh, goodness, why can't I think of the name of that? The word processors, because they have all those, they correct the everything, but it doesn't know the difference between weather and weather, you know?
That's true.
So, so it didn't catch that on me. So, all right, I appreciate it. Anything else?
No, sir, just have a great week.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, let's go to Clay. Go right ahead, Mr. Clay Carey.
Hey, John. I was just calling in. Daryl has been doing a great job here in Missouri, but I wanted to address the lady who called in a couple calls ago concerning suing and being sued. While we're setting up the grand juries, be aware that there are a lot of us, myself also, that are involved in court cases of whatever nature.
Myself included, yep.
In these de facto courts.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick, and especially I have proven it beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind this past week at a new arraignment, which, believe it or not, lasted for a little over 3.5 hours to let him read the charges for two charges, both motor vehicle. No injured party, simply no tags, no insurance is the only charges. But where she has, I'll use the word slack for a lack of a better definition or statement, and where I used to make all my mistakes, I try and play in their courts. We need to realize who we are. We are the sovereign. They are our public servants. And in the case of this last arraignment that I had, the judge finally relented and said that the right to travel sounded like a constitutional issue, which, if I would be polite enough to file a brief, then convince him that it was a constitutional issue, that subject was over his quote-unquote pay grade, and the prosecutor would have to either decide to file the suit in the federal Supreme Court or dismiss.
Well, he was saying the truth, but with the exception of the federal, I don't know what this federal Supreme Court would have to do with that.
Well, the Supreme Court is the only court that, by constitution, can define the Constitution.
Well, you're right. Right, because you're in a statutory court, and that statutory court doesn't have the authority to rule, on the one hand, on the Constitution.
They don't have.
Right, but on the other hand, exactly. But on the other hand, they have a dilemma because they're committing fraud against you, and they're trying to tell you they're a court of law and a criminal court, and that they can give you some kind of fine or in prison time, and so therefore now they've overstepped their authority. Plus, they took an oath that they would defend the Constitution, and so that whole thing, once the fraud came into play, they've lost everything. Now, on top of that, they don't have any kind of immunity anyway because they're working for a corporation. The municipality is what they're working for, and the municipality is a corporation, and they have a corporate charter. And the corporate charter is in contradiction to the Constitution, and so therefore they have to obey their corporate charter, so immediately they lose all immunity. Now, these judges are so dumb, but go ahead.
What I'm trying to point out is that the judge did not acquire personam jurisdiction.
Right.
I didn't allow him to. Did
right.
not allow him to get subject matter jurisdiction.
Right. And he doesn't
now,
have it.
We left that hearing after 3.5 hours of dickering back and forth, with a court request from the judge. All I had to do was submit a travel brief and prove to him it was a constitutional issue. Now, anybody, I was beside myself. I was happy. I could come home. All I had to do was print off. I've got four or five different travel briefs on the right to travel. Anybody could have come home, photocopied those, and submitted them to the court. Now, luckily, I had a friend of mine. We've got a study group, and we try never to go to court alone. But Ray Heron, here in Missouri, kept my feet on the ground, and he said, "What did that judge ask you to do?" The key word was submit. If I submit a paper to that court, what am I doing?
Yeah, you're submitting. I understand.
I'm submitting to their jurisdiction. So
yeah, but I don't think that judge was that bright anyway. But I hear what you're saying.
Well, the bottom line is that I'm going to file the right to travel brief, but I'm going to do it in the form of a negative averment.
Right.
That way, civil or criminal, burden of proof is always on the plaintiff. Take all of your statements of fact, turn them into questions. I have no knowledge that I am not a citizen of the United States. I have no knowledge that I am a taxpayer. I have no knowledge that I'm required to have a driver's license. Turn them all into questions. And
well, that's true.
File it back into the court as a negative averment.
Well,
do it as under a declaration of fact.
Yeah, that's true, but, you know, I got a different strategy. They just don't have jurisdiction, and that's the only argument that I make. So,
well,
they got it. They got
as long as it works. We always fight jurisdiction,
yes,
then standing, and then subject matter.
Right. It takes time. And to fight that, so really, you know, we're teaching now, you just file one. You go to court under special appearance because, you know, if you don't go to court, they're going to arrest you. And it depends on what we're talking about here. But, you know, often it depends.
I go to court only under threatened arrest. I don't
exactly.
go under appearance because it,
well,
if
that's
you
exactly
appear,
why that's exactly why you're there under special appearance, which is really to test. Okay, you're there to test the warrant, and you're finding that the warrant is deficient, and you serve a paper to tell them that they don't have jurisdiction, and if they ignore
that which appears can be made to disappear. As a sovereign, you demand why they're standing before you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the point is, though, you've got to tell them that they don't have the jurisdiction. If they don't have the jurisdiction, they have to let this case go, so that's what you tell them they have to do, and if they don't do it, then you're going to sue them. They have to be careful how you say that because they can say, "Oh, you threatened me." But the bottom line is that you're going to sue them after that.
We're dealing with the bar, and it doesn't matter what state you're in.
Right. Well, you know, to be honest with you, you know, we all
use word games.
Yeah, to be honest with you.
And word tricks.
Right, but to be honest with you, you know, this is the problem we're all having. Every single thing is an uphill battle, and that's why we're doing the jury thing, because we're going to end all this insanity soon.
Well,
it's all going to go away.
In the meantime, if you're going to play the role of a sovereign, be a sovereign. Do not ever kowtow to their wishes in the court. Don't put in motions.
Well, I agree.
A petition is nothing more than a prayer, and a prayer can be granted or not granted upon their wishes. If you're a sovereign, put in a declaration of facts, truth, fact, and law, and a demand for the satisfaction that you want. And keep it. Every title of every document ought to be declaration and or demand.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't put in motions. Don't put in. Don't play by their rules. You're not. Their rules don't apply if you're a sovereign. You're an American national or you're an American citizen?
Well, I agree. You got a good point to make the declaration and your demand. So, no argument there.
When you file a plea of abatement, you don't even show up because when you do it under abatement, you're resting on your God-given rights, and you're saying that.
I did file a petition to abate in both counties, and it resulted in warrants for my arrest in both counties.
Mm-hmm.
Now I no longer petition, period. Now I demand or declare. And they haven't been able to nail me yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, again, hopefully this is going to be a thing of the past soon. I know New York is moving very quickly, and I think, like I said, you know, we've got 17 counties here. We've got 62 altogether, and we're working on them. And we're hammering them out, you know, so very soon we are going to stop all this madness here in New York State.
Well, you need to speed up because Missouri's going to be catching up and biting at your heels very soon.
Is that
shortly.
A challenge? Good, I want to hear that challenge. How many counties you got?
Daryl and I threw down the gloves a week or so ago.
How many counties you got out there?
Oh, good grief. Well over 100.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a big statement, then, if you're going to beat us out. Wow.
Just give us a couple months.
I'm watching.
The hardest part's going to be up in the north, probably northwest part of Missouri. There's very few activists, apparently, with internet access anyway up there. But if we have to, we'll go up there in person. So,
114.
Just a matter of getting organized.
Yeah, 114 counties. Wow. So, yeah, you got your job put up for you, but let's do it.
Hey, well, Daryl's up to it, and he's got a lot of support, even if he doesn't feel like he's got it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But he does.
Right.
We're behind him, and we're going to back him 100%. So,
okay. All right. Well, hang on a second. What I want to do, let me end the recording. We can continue talking, but hang on a second. Let me end this recording for the evening.